I love consonants. I love consonants a whole lot.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Three 1 7 yo here mid August WTF at TFW. I'm sitting down, but this is not Seth Buzzard. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Ray. I'm also known as Random Factor on Twitter.
Random Factor on Twitter.
Yep.
I've said that exact phrase a whole bunch of times.
No, you always throw the underscore in there.
I usually do. Yeah, I'm very particular about that.
You don't want people to find me and yell at me.
Well, it's just like Super Underscore Megatron. It's in the name.
Show up. I thought you talked about Transformers on this account. Nope.
No. Super. Oh, random underscore factor. That is your source for Transformers. Watermarked tweets will be found. Random underscore factor. No, Seth's job is on the upswing as far as his hours always being nuts, but tonight we thought he was going to be able to get out early, and turns out he can't, so we've pulled in one of our ringers. Ray's not actually been on one of these, like, sit-down recordings, I don't think. At least not one of the numbered ones.
I've been on a bunch of TFCon ones where I'm already half in the bag.
Yeah. So you've pretty much been on the show forever. More or less.
The post-Wendy's one, I remember that one. That was the last one I think I was on.
Yeah, the Boston Pizza story. You can hear some fine random underscore factor content over on that supplemental. That was a fantastic time, except for the part where we were sitting in Boston Pizza for an hour.
It's a good story. I like it.
It's a great story. I've actually told that story, I think, about four times already. It's getting up there. It's like one of those ones where I'm just snapping it off, like I know the beats now. Anyway, we're just going to sit down here. We're going to talk some Transformers news. What with this week having been such a happy week, we're here to talk about some Transformers. Hashtag levity. We're going to kick off by talking about the Transformers Collectors Club. They've announced their second store exclusive. So again, like, it's because the lingo, like, they append a whole lot of prefixes and suffixes. So a Transformers Collectors Club store exclusive is one that, as a member who got the freebie exclusive, you have to buy. And you can't buy it unless you're a club member, but if you're not and you buy it, they have a version, I believe, that bundles the club membership in with it. It's one of those things where it's like, it isn't as complicated as it sounds, it just needs, like, a chart. Like, it's kind of like, we'll cycle this over to some familiar ground. It's like the Watch Dogs pre-order setup.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, where there's all these words, and there's too many of them. But if you look at it visually, like a picture, it makes a lot more sense. And they haven't shown any pictures of the toy yet, but they showed a piece of artwork. This is how things went with Lyo Convoy as well, where they just showed artwork and you could ascertain what was going on right away. She's going to be 3¾ inches from a club that also does G.I. Joe stuff, so it's pretty easy to suss out she's going to be a G.I. Joe toy with some kind of new sculpting. And she's coming with a non-transforming Afterburner. That's the motorcycle Technobot, and I'm told that this, going from the artwork, this is literally Firefly's bike from the Retaliation line, almost down to the colors. Like, it's gonna have, I think, a little bit more orange, and obviously that Autobot tempo, unless they do a sticker sheet. And so this is gonna be pretty much a G.I. Joe set of Transformers characters, which has met a little bit of resistance. Conceptually, I'm not against it. Like, this is one of the most logical things you could do, is to make a Marissa Fairborn figure from a G.I. Joe. But there is a bike I thought she was going to come with. It was that crazy ninja bike that could turn into, like, cyclone armor. I thought that would have been a nicer bridging point, but maybe with G.I. Joe the way it is, like, older molds like that might be harder to get at. Ray, how do you feel about Marissa Fairborn getting an official toy that is wearing pants?
How many official toys are there ever? This is the first, isn't it?
No, there's also the Kiss Play figurine where she's not wearing pants.
I thought we didn't talk about Kiss Play.
I talk about Kiss Play all the time. Ask me anything about Kiss Play.
Why?
Well, look, sometimes an artist has to get a kind of, what do you call it? It's like a catharsis, you know? Like, they gotta get it out of their system, and the guy had to get it out of his system.
No, I think it's, I think it's nice to occasionally get human figures. Like, there's a wide sort of pantheon of human Transformers characters that don't have any representation at all in terms of toy lines outside of Human Alliance and the thing we don't talk about.
Yeah. Well, and now Creo. There's a Creo kicker.
Oh yeah.
And the club is doing a Creo GB Blackrock.
But I'm surprised they're doing G.I. Joe, because like I would have actually thought like Human Alliance would have been perfect.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I have a feeling the Human Alliance humans, like, I don't think there's any evidence as to how their tooling is locked up, especially like the one female one. She might be tied to, I forgot who she came with, the Michaela one. There was a Michaela one, right? I'm not going crazy. I'm gonna Google it. I really don't
Yeah.
trust
I'm
myself.
trying to think, did that one movie one set with the
There
Bumblebee
was.
in the tow truck? Come with
No,
me?
she came with Skids.
Okay.
Now I remember because at the time I was like, MC Paddington comes with two ladies, because he also came with one of the bikes. But yeah, I don't know if her tooling, what with that being a Revenge of the Fallen one as well, if she's like tied to the Skids mold or the RC mold somehow.
Yeah.
But there's no price point yet, I think, on this announced thing. And I don't disagree with the people who wish that the bike was transformable in some way. Mostly now, because aside from that one G.I. Joe bike that turns into armor, there are a number of motorcycle transformers out there who are G.I. Joe sized enough.
Well, I think because all of the motorcycles I can think of off the top of my head in recent memory have been very clearly gendered as female.
There is that. Well, oh no, there was the Revenge of the Fallen Scout. If that one's still around. That mold might be gone now, but I always felt that one was kind of cool, and on a G.I. Joe level. But that it is slim pickings.
Yeah.
So I'm not upset about a non-transforming Afterburner. I feel like calling it Afterburner kind of feels like who does it look like?
Well, it's in their toolbox for the club. I mean,
Yeah.
they were doing G.I. Joe stuff until recently, and they still have those like resources available to them. So it makes a
Yeah.
lot of sense. Like I don't know how the access to what molds they get works. Like, do they ask for things, or is there given a list of things they can work with, or?
I believe that they can make pitches, and they can pitch for whatever molds they want, and then they get feedback that says that mold's not available, etc., etc., or this one can't be done
Anything
in those colors.
licensed?
Yeah, like a lot of the movie toys are just off limits. It's too much work because GM will need to get involved if they use any of the movie molds, I think.
Yeah.
Well, GM and whoever else got in on that.
Well, with the G.I. Joe stuff, I was like, aren't you then dealing with actors' likenesses and stuff? Like, if I take Roadblock.
Not if you change the head.
Oh.
And Boss Fight Studios, I believe, are the people doing G.I. Joe heads for the club now. And that's a big upside because they are really good at doing head sculpts. They've done a couple G.I. I think they did all the last G.I. Joe subscription figure reveals, like the Cobra Lab Workers and stuff, or maybe those were Joe-Con exclusives. And they also did, I always remember this one, they did the five new head sculpts for the Ruination version of Bruticus. Like the Wreckers version of the video game Bruticus. And those head sculpts were the high points of those five figures. And I think those were the first things Boss Fight did for Hasbro's Transformers stuff. So it's interesting. There's also rumblings, of course, the rumor's been going around for months about whether or not the Joe Club. What with the state of G.I. Joe, is that thing going to kind of roll together with the Transformers Club into some kind of mutant? And I've seen some reactions to this of like, is this stage one of the mutation? And that's not anything I think we're going to see until probably a year or two from now, if it ever even happens.
I think
But
people are going to wait at least a year or two, like you said, to sort of see what happens to G.I. Joe.
yeah.
Because I think the death of G.I. Joe, if it was something that was sort of like big and official, that'd make news.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've greenlit G.I. Joe 3 as a movie, so I think they are gonna make that the next, like, all right, all resources go into G.I. Joe 3. All creative resources, all toy resources, we're gonna reimagine this thing, give it a kick in the ass. It needs a kick in the ass, as
Yeah.
we've talked about many times on this podcast. But yeah, I don't think doing Marissa Fairborn out of G.I. Joe's is anything bad. I mean, it's logical is the best compliment you can really say for it. Like, it is so incredibly obvious that yes, of course it'll happen. So I guess the main question is going to be the price, and if the price is pretty high, it's going to make me look at that Afterburner bike a whole lot more and go like, "Why are you here?" Because I like Afterburner looks neat, but I super don't need a big orange bike. Anyway, do you have any, since you know you're guesting in here, have you got any thoughts on the other two exclusive, the freebie and the other store exclusive, which are both based on Orion packs?
Oh, I want them both. It's that problem where, you know, if it didn't involve subscribing to the club.
Yeah. Well,
if they were on store shelves, like, oh, in a heartbeat. I love that. I love that mold.
Oh, I love it too. I still hope somehow, somewhere, someone does a remold of it that isn't somehow an Optimus Prime or a Prime of some kind or a Convoy.
So that Leo Convoy, I think, is actually a really imaginative use.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite of the two.
And now finally the name Leo Convoy makes sense. He's finally a truck. I think using the silver slats on the side as a lion's mane is like that's ingenuity.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of club stuff that really like yeah. But do more of that.
Yeah. Well it's like a giant lion's head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got 5mm ports on the sides, so technically If someone made like two huge planks with lion legs on them that you could bolt onto the sides of it, you could have a total garbage lion mode for him as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to not buying that.
Yeah.
The Nova Prime. The Orion Pax mold has a sort of like I'd call it a more diminutive body than a Optimus Prime. It's supposed to look a bit younger, a bit more svelte.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Nova Prime works for that as well.
No, I mean,
when I hear Nova Prime, I picture like huge and imposing and mean looking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's clear what the inspiration was, which was painting the fins like that.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think of the wings, but especially for Nova Prime, I look at it and I'm like, it's not like it looks terrible. It just looks kind of like, I guess. And I also sit there wondering why Nova Prime is a pickup truck. Like, there's something about that feels also kind of unsuiting to him. I don't know. Like he's a truck, for sure. That's always been his alt mode ever since the first designs of him. Mm-hmm. But just something about Nova Prime just slumming it around as a little pickup truck seems real weird to me.
Well, the idea of Nova Prime having an alt mode at all. Like, yeah. He looks like the kind of guy who just doesn't need it.
Yeah, or it's like, it's there. You know, he grew up with one, but he forgot how to get there.
It's not like he's going to pick up bodies and haul them into the dead universe, you know?
Yeah. I just kept imagining, like, him and Leo Convoy, because apparently they're going to be connected, because the Nova Prime box will have the removable foam truck that you can stick Leo Convoy into. So they're going to write some kind of fiction to tie the two together, and I'm just like, I don't even know what you would do, aside from some weird caper where they both have to hide out as pickup trucks.
It's the ultimate heist.
Yeah, they just both ended up in Wisconsin, and we're like, we got to lay low. Scan that pickup truck. All right, I'll scan it too. Oh, now we both look the same.
Every time.
I'll paint myself like a lion. Because they're also both white pickup trucks, which I think is the first time, because we've had it, the Shockeract and Rampage did a reuse of a custom head that was done for a new mold, or a new head done for an old mold. And these two guys are doing the same thing, but they also seem to be using similar plastic colors. Which I think must be another logical thing to do on the design end. And they've covered it pretty well with Leo Convoy. He's the one, I think, who is preventing them from literally looking almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they'll be... I was able to get all the subscription toys I wanted without actually getting a subscription. And I don't think it'll be hard to figure out a way to get those yourself if you end up seeing them at a show.
How much more do you wind up paying when you sort of go through a middleman instead of directly through the club?
I didn't pay that much extra. I think I paid like $60 for Slipstream and like... she was the most expensive one.
I still want that Slipstream.
I was just sitting there at a convention for $60 and no one else is buying it. And I was like, I'll buy Slipstream for $60.
Was that at TFCon?
No, this was at one of the smaller ones they do, like Action Figure Expo or something. But yeah, I was kind of agog. And then I remember Chris GM fan was there going, he wants one too. And the guy had two of them. And I was like, all right, sure.
Most popular new character from animated. Just nobody wants it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a smaller show. So it was one of those kind of shows where that kind of toy, I think, could slip under the radar. And I was like, all right, sure. Anyway, that's some club exclusive talk. Hopefully we'll have toy pictures of Marissa Fairborn just in time for us to not be able to talk about it on this podcast, because that's always how it goes.
Yep.
We're going to do some new picture picks. Guests go first. Ray, what's your new picture pick?
All right, I thought of this right before we started recording.
Yeah.
But you tweeted this link out earlier today, the price for the Hot Toys Optimus Prime.
Oh, friggin' $340 plus? Yeah. And then I found out from Johnny Empire, who says, oh, and at that size, too. I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, look, he's under 12 inches tall.
That is $30 an inch.
He's 11.8 inches tall. I'm like, the one thing that this thing could have done, being big. He failed. I'm even gesturing with my hands as though anyone can see me here. Like, Ultimetal is at least 18 inches tall.
17.
So you want him, if you're going to have a Hot Toys collection, if you're like the only person in the world who's going to be interested in this thing, which is a diehard Hot Toys collector, he's going to be like the same size as the Joker.
Yeah, he's going to look like a guy in an Optimus Prime costume who is wearing corpse parts from Starscream.
I don't understand this toy. I don't get it. I don't, like...
I can see how the toy happened. Like, all the concepts feel like something you'd think of on a bar napkin, you know, while you're out going like, we got the Transformers license, what do we do? Except that someone's supposed to step in the next day and go like, no, wait, you're wasting the Transformers license doing this. Why don't we do something better?
No, it's like that bar napkin, just with the sort of like the raw ideas on it, got handed to someone who had no idea.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, Optimus Prime, like, bolts people onto his body in the movies, and he has a bit of a murderous streak, when I look threatening, he's a bit more weathered. And then the word movie just got picked up and thrown away.
And then at some point, they're like, all right, Sideshow exclusive part, what do we do? And it's like, well, let's not beat around the bush. Let's just make sure that everyone knows he murdered Starscream. So the Sideshow exclusive part is Starscream's decapitated head.
Yeah, there are people on Twitter today speculating that it was, like, maybe if you buy all of these, you'll be able to build your own Starscream?
No, because that artwork is out there. That's Starscream's head with his spinal cord dangling from the stump of his neck.
See, on a raw level, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I was joking about this. It's like someone tried to make an Optimus Prime high-end toy for you and me. Like, the people who unironically kind of enjoy movie Optimus Prime.
Yeah, and he's got, like, the Predaking shoulder cannons.
Yeah, except it's like... It's like they, like, oh no, these kind of people will like it, except they missed parts of the entire reason why anyone even thinks that part of Optimus is funny in the movies, is that it's a different Optimus.
Yeah.
It's not the G1 Optimus.
He just looks like, he looks like a really sort of interesting Prime toy, like the Reveltech Prime, sort of updated, but then someone threw it into the street.
Yeah.
And kicked it around for a bit, and then tried to sell it.
And then for $350 plus, I'm like, if you're going to drop that much stuff on some kind of high-end Optimus, then just keep saving your money, and then, like, unless it turns out to be a total piece of junk, just get the Ultimetal, because yeah, that thing will be bigger, it'll have the entire gimmick of being able to peel all his skin off and look at his skeleton,
mm-hmm.
You know, all this other cool stuff it'll do, and it'll also not look, you know, infantile and idiotic like the Hot Toys Prime does. I really don't like the Hot Toys Prime.
No, it looks bad. They've over-designed his classic gun.
Yeah, and
I don't like the additional new details.
And all the puffiness on him is in all the wrong directions, mm-hmm. And they left the wheels on for no good reason. And then this is the thing that I think makes me so mad, is they're wasting this opportunity. They're getting to do a licensed third-party movable action figure on the high end using the Transformers license, and, like, this is all they came up with. And, like, you can see the Iron Man system going on, where it's like, we'll have Optimus with this armor, and then in Hong Kong we'll have him with the Megatron armor, so we can keep, you know, doing our Iron Man variants with this. But it's like, the very base of this thing is garbage, so I don't think it's gonna work out as well. I saw the discussion, people outside of the hardcores are probably gonna eat it up, we'll see. I think at that price point, and at that size, that's, like, lost two of the reasons why it would be eaten up outside of our fandom.
I think if you're going to do, like, I'm not really a purist. I love all the new things. I love the new designs. I like new takes on Transformers. Just give them to me. But if you're going to do G1 Optimus Prime, do G1 Optimus Prime.
Yeah, and give him, like, accessories that reference the source material from which the entire figure seems to be based.
Even if it's, like, those, like, Like it's a jetpack from the first episode. It's the Matrix. He has the Matrix. It's I don't know, a floppy disk to download his brain onto. It's
a basketball.
A basketball for him to drool.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that there's an audience for what it is, but I just don't know who that audience is. And I've still yet to encounter anyone who looks at this final complete info list of what this is and says, I want that. Like, the best I've seen are people going like, well, if I ignore these giant things he comes with, which are part of the price, maybe? Like, mm-hmm. all the Starscream parts, but I'm like, well, that sucks, because you're paying for all that. And that's a lot of plastic you're paying for. I'm assuming he's plastic. Yeah. I'm gonna cap myself there, because I'm just gonna start talking in circles about reasons why it annoys me. And I will say, as I said before, the engineering of how the body works could be super cool. And
yeah, I can see where like the ab crunch has been finagled in.
Yeah, and that stuff, I think I could legitimately enjoy. But that's about it. Like outside of the, like engineering, like everything else about that thing literally frustrates me when I look at it. I don't like being frustrated about toys, so I try not to look at it too much. Well, that was a great new picture pick. Did that actually make the front page? Like the.
I don't think so.
Okay, I'll link to the sideshow page.
Would you like me to pick something that did appear on the front page?
I guess. I mean, I could just take a picture of my monitor with my iPhone.
Okay.
And then I could leak it. You know, sources. Plug a nice big watermark on that.
I'm surprised it didn't get a mention, but I guess. I guess Secret Code didn't think it was viable.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, what do we pay front page staff for? Like a whole bunch of words in that sentence all don't go together whatsoever. And that's why I said it. Well, my own new picture pick is kind of just another topic. The picture is the G Creations SRK-01, it's unofficial third-party sludge. Have you seen that? It's like the newest Dinobot to show up on the unofficial end.
Is this the one that combines?
No, this is after that announcement. There's another company that have revealed they're doing Dinobots who have never done anything before called G Creations. Here, I'll link you.
This one turns into a foot.
This one just turns into sludge. He does. What? Okay, sure. Whatever. I missed that picture, apparently. I didn't see that. Okay, so his guns turn him into a foot. Sure. Okay. So I got a couple things I want to say about this. Number one, I can appreciate the look they're going for, which is that they are trying to go for the G1 toy, but with joints. Mm-hmm. So we've got all those ridges all over him, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's okay. That's neat. And the upside of that is that gives him his own unique aesthetic, and he's classics scaled. He's a Voyager-sized toy. So now people who don't want a stylized classics-looking one, either from Franz Project or from Planet X or from Toy World, can now go for this, which looks the most G1, probably. Yeah. I didn't know he turned into a foot, because I was going to say how this one was shirking that whole weird fad of them combining, too. But I guess, okay.
It's like people sort of like, the only time I could think of two times the Dinobots have combined, and it was the Beast.
Yep.
In that one god-awful comic. And it was, was it, which one was it? Which series? Was it Robots in Disguise had combining Dinobots? No.
No. I cannot recall classics looking. Oh, I mean, there was Energon had the two of
Energon.
Them. Energon. Yeah. Well, that was a two Dinobot combiner. Yeah, I mean, it's a neat idea. This looks like a foot. This also, I mean, if the foot is that size, I feel like their Grimlock is going to get kind of borked into a weird looking torso thing. As far as this toy itself, I super duper don't care for the enormous uncompressed wings sticking off of his back. They look like they're supposed to do something else. And they just stick out so far.
I think that's always been part of his aesthetic, though.
Oh, yeah, like having wings back there is, but these ones, I don't like their shape.
I think they sit a bit too low too.
Yeah, they have a very unfinished look to them. So I mean, hey, you know what? We'll see what these guys do. This broaches a slightly bigger topic though. Before we get to that, just ask you, what do you think of this? Does he have a name? No. Okay, his name is Cirque One. What do you think of Cirque One?
I don't care.
So I guess that broaches into the bigger topic. There's now a flow chart of how many unofficial companies or how many independent companies are doing unofficial Dinobots.
Yeah, here's where I'd bring in the watchdogs analogy.
Yeah. I think it was eight companies if you include, I mean, that chart includes the Starcats dinosaur combiner, which honestly I don't think belongs in that list. Like, it's very Dinobot-y, but it's different enough that I don't think it belongs next to the far more obvious, like, you know, gray and red and black and gold ones. I mean, there's movie colors versions of the Starcats one, but those probably don't count for a lot of people who are into these. But we've got G Creations with classic styled and combining. We've got Toy World with classic styled and combining. We've got Fans Project with Fans Project styled and Target Master melee weapons. We've got Planet X with Fall of Cybertron styled, and then we've got, I believe, three companies all trying to do exactly the same thing in the form of Masterpiece style Dinobots, which are just trying to look like actual Masterpiece toys. So I talked about this a little bit, I think, on here myself, but Ray, I want to know what you think about this weird, like, what were the Combiner Wars, it's Dinobot Wars time kind of scenario we're in.
If I sort of look at them across the board, the masterpiece ones, just I don't care. Like I don't, I can't, I don't like, I don't hate them. I don't like them. I just they don't even register on my radar. The Fans Project ones, I have Columpio. Full disclosure, I think he's great. I sort of like when I got Columpio home, the TFCon hype had kind of worn off a bit, and I just sort of took him out of the box and I posed him and went, it's a Dinobot. I already have a shelf full of movie Dinobots now. I don't like dinosaurs that much. I barely like cars that much. I mean, I don't see the point. And there has to be like G Creations started developing this at some point where like, do they just not get the news about the 10 other companies? Do they not like, do they think, ah, we got a shot?
I think that definitely a number of these companies all started this without knowing the other ones were doing
Well,
it.
yeah, that's how I imagine like the Predaking thing happens too.
Yeah, but then you hit a couple of things here. Like, number one, the Masterpiece rush between Gigapower, Fans Toys, and what's their name? Those three companies feel like they are all directly reacting to each other every step of the way in a way that I think is kind of gross. Not like they're committing gross practices, but it's leading to a conversation that has a real nasty tone of like, who's gonna do the best one first? And it just feels like this weird, like, circular little niche over on the other side of the table that, like, doesn't really interest me the way that independent toys tend to interest me on the unofficial level. In terms of these ones which are all more like Voyager sized, for a little while, I was saying how at least they all have very different aesthetics. G Creations is the one that I think is starting to ruin that pool a little bit too. Like, being posable G1 is one thing, but putting a friggin' foot mode in, now it's just like, all right, so now you and Toy World are doing the same weird gimmick as well. And yeah, it's a shame because at the end of the day, there are going to be 40 unofficial Dinobot figures. Well, at least 40, not including the at least two companies that are also doing paddles. And number one, the market's going to look terrible from the outside. Number two, a whole bunch of those are never going to sell. And
I'd be surprised if they all came out.
I think some of these groups are going to have to give up. I think G Creations would probably be the first one because, as far as I know, they don't have any track record. And sorry, is it G Creations or C Generations? It says both on the front page thing.
Let's look at the watermark.
G Creation. Okay, so G Creation, like, I don't think they have any track record that I'm aware of. They are the second ones to do classic size. They're the fourth ones to do classic size, and the second ones to do a combiner. As far as I can tell, they don't have anything that's really going to keep them out front. And I think they should just let this lie for now.
Well, it's like, then you throw into the fact that Hasbro themselves have at least three full sets.
Well, full minus one in most cases.
Yeah.
But like a fivesome.
Yeah, of Dinobots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there someone out there who's going to own all of them? Like all of them? Like just all of them? Like you just walk into his room and he's sitting in the corner, hasn't showered in weeks, hasn't been able to buy food in months, but he's got every Dinobot that's ever been released.
Will probably be Irish Paleo on Twitter, but that's only one man. And one man can't fund eight companies, even if he buys all their toys.
He'll build a boat out of them and come over here and kick our asses.
No, this Dinobot thing, like, it's obvious how it happened. Dinobots are going to be in the movies. A bunch of companies all have the exact same perfectly logical idea, and the calculable risk that, hey, maybe no one else is going to do this because everyone's busy making combiners. Unfortunately, it looks like everyone had the same idea. at least iGear isn't getting in on it. Maybe iGear will wait until one comes out, then make theirs 2 inches bigger, as they did with Predaking.
Well, it's sort of an indication of the sad reality of what the third-party market actually is.
Yeah.
Because I think when it first started, it was a lot of, like, there was a lot of sort of this youthful idealism about what the third-party market was.
Oh,
and what it could mean for collectors.
You can see that in the first 10 pages of the Hercules Megathread.
Mm-hmm. It's like now finally we're getting what we want, we're getting in the style we want, we're getting innovation and new engineering, and we're revisiting and recreating and like re-envisioning. And then over the course of the next couple of years, not only was the community changing in the way it was sort of accepting and looking at these new toys, but the market itself, which is, as far as I understand it, this is something that only happens in Transformers.
Yeah, I've inquired here and there. As far as I know, like, maybe something on a smaller level happens with other fandoms, other niches, other markets, but nothing on the insane, like, giant ball inside a smaller globe niche that this market has become.
Like, if you want to know what the beginnings of a market crash look like,
yeah,
this is it. This is where we are. And you know, I'm not an economist, but I can read the writing on the wall.
Yeah, and it really sucks because, as far as I understand it, trying to aim outside of the predictable products that people ask for is a huge gamble, because half the time, if it's like, it either has to follow a trend or look like classics.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, you can kind of get away with looks like Masterpiece as well, if you can ape that style decently. But it's like it's like this really low ceiling in this enormously wide room. And I think it sucks for a lot of people involved. It sucks for a lot of the customers who want to see more interesting stuff and more varied stuff. It sucks for some of the designers, too, who probably don't want to do some of these things all that much.
Well, so you can see it in Fans Project and Make Toys specifically, where it is this aesthetic push to sort of make something that is as close to we can get as an official Transformer while still allowing wiggle room for experimentation.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at stuff like their, you know, Pandinus, the Make Toys Scorponok,
mm-hmm.
and I've made this point many times, and I stand by it. If you color that thing differently and take his claws off, he doesn't look like Scorponok anymore. He looks like a big, awesome city robot.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like he was designed to be a big, awesome city robot, and hey, if we add these parts, it looks like Scorponok.
But to be able to make that, they have to do the Metroplex.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't just make this thing that looks like, because you have to have this sort of like pattern recognition going on of these are a line of the G1 city bots.
Well, not just pattern recognition, it has to be in a certain order too.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could see that with Techno Toon Titans when they did Huffer and Pipes first, and half the reaction were like, why are you doing them? Do the better ones. And it's like if they somehow did a perfect animated Constructicons first, people would have eaten up Bluster and Trench, I think.
But if those toys were failures,
then people would have said they should never have done it in the first place.
Yeah, so the Bluster and Trench actually makes a lot of sense.
Oh yeah, when you think about it, because they're so simple, it's like, alright, like we could focus on actually even hitting this aesthetic in the first place.
And they do. They absolutely do. The toys have some problems in sort of how they peg together,
mm-hmm.
but
Well, like they're super fun. They're on target. They're a great first step. And I look at them, I'm like, I'm real happy they did those two first. Because if they went through these growing pains and were trying to do the way more complicated Constructicons at the same time, that would have been a mess. Like, you can't just, like, stick your head straight into the deep end of this thing, especially with a new aesthetic that a lot of these companies don't get to touch on, which is something that doesn't look like G1. Anyway, we also got a caller.
Okay.
I should mention, we got a caller. Who wants to call into this. So I'll hook up the caller machine, and we can take our first live caller on the air. If the caller can pick it. It's the caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm really honored to be here. I have a question.
All right, is it about unofficial Dinobots?
No.
Well, I thought you were listening.
It's a question about the podcast.
Okay.
My question is, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Taking over.
Starting a show without me on my show? You're stepping into my show?
Hey, I don't know if you noticed.
What the hell do you think you are?
We're running this full Canadian now. Oh. Guess what? We're stepping on your turf, and we're also just taking over Canadian slag. Who's going to stop us? The Irish?
You get who wants Canadian slag?
I don't want it really.
Is that even a podcast anymore? Do they still record?
There's a link on the front page.
What are they doing?
I never unsubscribed from it. I just don't see new episodes.
There, I think one came out last year. I think. Seth.
Maybe they have been coming out, and just like everyone's iTunes was like, nah.
You don't want this.
Yeah. I got other stuff to do than download that.
They should make another one. I don't know who to browbeat anymore. They switched editors like 15 times, so I don't even know who runs their podcast anymore.
Well, that's what we got Moonbase for.
That's right. We can abuse them.
Yeah.
In fact, you missed. I already took a swing at Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Properly. Good man. Yeah. Seth, welcome. This is Ray. Ray, this is Seth.
Hi, Ray.
We're podcasting.
Would you also like to podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll just keep the phone line running then. Who needs money? Phone bill. Seth, we're talking about how there are like 18 companies doing unofficial Dinobots now, with G Creations just sticking their toe into the deep end because this is us doing new picture picks. Just quickly, do you have any thoughts either on their sludge or how many unofficial Dinobots there are?
I don't know. Isn't this just like the rush to do combiners all over again?
Well, if you take a look at something I didn't know about till I opened this up, this sludge also turns into a foot, making this the second third-party unofficial combining Dinobot set.
Well, of course it does. Because you gotta mix your memes.
That's like, right.
Well, what's the point of piling on if you're not gonna pile on?
This is taller than the combiner rush. There's a flow chart now, like a grid chart of who's doing Dinobots. I think there's like 8 or 9 companies, depending on what you count as Dinobots.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, I'm flipping through the pictures right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes grid prototypes, when they get colored, you lose some of the detail.
Yeah.
I think this dude would benefit from losing a little bit of detail. He looks too busy.
Yeah, they're aiming for the ridge work on the old G1 toy. And ideally, when you make like middle parts of them black and stuff, you'll lose some of that super grable. Yeah.
Well, what they're also doing is they're adding in like actual solid detail where it used to be stickers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is adding a lot of busyness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the weird like livery on the lines of his ankles and stuff. Yeah. Yep. It's weird. I really want to see what this all looks like next year. Like when all these Dinobots feasibly have come out and there are 40 plus Dinobots on the unofficial market. It'll be real fun going to a convention where people are trying to deal with all this Dinobot stock a year after the movie.
Oh, no.
I'm just glad I'm not some sort of paleontologist or something and think like I have to get all of them because it's my job or something.
Well, even if you know, some paleontologist does, it's not like one man can keep all these companies afloat. Like, you know, we were talking, there are going to be casualties. Like, I agree with Ray in that I don't think everyone's going to make it to the Dinobot finish line.
Well, then there should be, because it's that they got to stop doing this. Like, we're all going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, all of us are going to basically do the same thing. No, don't spread it out.
Well, I mean, it's weird because I don't want them all to just talk to each other all the time. Aside from the fact that some of these companies very loudly don't get along with each other. But
I was reading an article earlier this week that talked about sort of like how wrestling organizations got started.
Yeah.
Like halfway through the this couple decades ago, and it was because you had so many individual promoters with their own labels doing their own different things that the individual wrestlers started to talk.
Yeah,
well, it was extremely territorial.
Yeah.
You didn't cross into another promoter's territory without there being, like, violence.
And so what happened as a result is the promoters sort of all got together and sort of formed, like, we need to start talking to each other more often and sort of start building lines of communication, or otherwise this is going to start getting messy as these things get bigger and more popular.
Yeah.
And there's also some more stuff about sort of, like, wrestlers were starting to complain about, you know, unionization stuff and sort of trying to curb stomp that. But getting away from that. I could see the same thing happening in third party where there is like suddenly these companies have to start talking to each other.
Because some of them talk to each other. Some of them will have like little summits where they'll get together and look like, what's everyone doing? And sometimes they'll agree like, oh, we're both doing the same characters, but we're doing them so differently that we'll both mutually agree we can carry on with this.
But that would explain why all the newer companies are the ones that show so many similarities.
Yeah, because none of them talk to each other, I'm pretty sure. And also, like, you know, like I said, some companies, I think, don't talk even if they could. Like, it sounds like almost no one really talks to TFC anymore, or iGear, now that iGear is also becoming, like, a creative conglomerate more than a singular company.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it would behoove some of them to at least poke around a bit and figure out what people are doing, because especially the newer ones, and I don't even mean this as like, you know, everything's got to be a hard competition. It's just they're gonna be shut out of a marketplace if they put 8 months of work into something that someone else is already putting 10 months of work into.
Yeah, because I was wondering if there's ever been a case where one of these third-party companies is like, we're working on this thing and we haven't told anybody yet, and then like one other company goes, hey, we're doing this thing. Here's a silhouette, and then they go from silhouette to like a prototype, and then a second company comes along and goes, hey, we got silhouettes too. And then that company who hasn't shown anything yet, do they ever stop and think like, oh, there's already two guys ahead of us?
Usually,
like, maybe we should scrap it and start on something else.
As I've heard, like, the moment one silhouette shows up, or like if one company says, like, say a company's working on Duocons, and then some other company says, hey, we're doing Duocons, here's a picture. The company that was quietly working on them will just butt rush a picture out there as fast as possible. To like, it's almost like laying stake, going like, we're doing it too! And then, like, hopefully that prevents anyone else from wanting to do it.
Yeah, because all your funding is going to come from pre-orders.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a smooth move for a company to go, okay, there's already two people ahead of us. Let's scrap this that we haven't even gotten to prototype stage of yet, where we can jam out like a CG render. Let's just scrap this. We haven't even started prototyping. We'll start on the next thing and have a head start.
I think it all depends how much money they put into even like the pre-prototype stage. Like, if they paid someone to do CG design and stuff, like if they've sunk enough money into it, then I think it just becomes a case of, like, we can't take the... Like, taking the hit of being in a crowded market is less than taking the hit of not even doing it, I assume. But yeah, it's kind of nuts right now. And like, I didn't think anything could get weirder than everyone doing combiners, but apparently it could. So let's keep an ear out for whatever the big thing in Transformers 5 is, and then ideally we'll... Like, we'll see if all these companies all scramble to do it, or if maybe they pause and all go like, well, maybe everyone else is doing it. And then maybe none of them will do it. And maybe it would be for the better. Like, if it forces them all to get paranoid and go like, what's a crazy thing we could do instead?
Yeah, and then they all pivot in the same direction they and end up doing the same thing anyway.
They all do, like, Junkions or something.
I'm like, jam it! I thought we were going to put the swerve on this time.
It's like there's one guy who like has like a small voice in every single one of these companies somehow, like through friends. Just goes around sowing the seeds of chaos. Hey, Seth, I'm wondering, while you're, you know, fresh on here, do you have a new picture pick as well you want to do?
Oh, man. I just got here.
Like, I'm putting you on the spot. If you don't want to pick anything, I do know something we could talk about.
Oh, why don't you just talk about something.
All right.
Otherwise, I'm going to be like, as I frantically scroll up and down the front page.
Well, you're here, And this came up in the pre-chat, so why don't we do it? This is a piece by the venerable Dr. Wu.
Oh, the hound thing?
Yeah, the hound belly.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I think this is the first time we've had an add-on gut for a Transformer. Like an engirthifier, if you will.
God, someone's going to correct you in the comments. You know.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I want to know.
There's going to be an actually.
How many other Transformers have I been able to make fat? I'd like to know. Because... So this thing's,
well, there was that Optimus Prime from a few years back.
Is that making him fat, though? Mm. Adding a beer belly? Because this is literally adding a beer belly. And that was actually... I felt really weird about it. One of my only problems with the Hound toy, the other one being that his accessories love to fall off of him or each other, is that he looks too lean and too fit to be the Hound I saw in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we got Dr. Wu making this... this big, like, rubber vest that you stick on him that gives him a huge gut. And I'm assuming doesn't really have anywhere to go in vehicle mode.
Maybe it's Young Hound.
That's what I took
totally
it as.
Is Young Hound.
Where he's got a short beard because he just started growing it. Because he's like, this will be funny. I'll do this for a month.
Went on vacation.
Yeah.
Hipster Hound.
And it just stuck. But
now I can't take it off because now I'm the beard guy.
Yeah, everyone calls me Bearded Hound. Damn it. I'm going to get fat, too. I think it depends how much this thing's gonna cost. Like, ideally it doesn't get so intricate and ends up costing like $30+, because that's gonna be too much just to add a gut to Hound. I still don't know if I really want it, because it, like, they say the color is not final. It's gonna blend in better ideally and have maybe a bit more detailing on the pouches, but I don't know. Ray, you saw the movie. Well, Seth did too, but I couldn't think of anything else to say. What do you think of this gut pack?
It's all right.
Right?
Good on him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those two pictures of Chris Pratt. You know, just pick which one you want to be.
Yeah. It's like, keep the vest on, or if you want Fit Hound, if you want Star-Lord Hound, just take it off.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want Parks and Rec Hound, go for it. If you want Guardians of the Galaxy Hound, go for it. You know what I mean?
Imagine if Star-Lord had the mantra of it's too ugly to live and actually killed things that he saw that were aliens.
He grabbed a lizard and used it like a microphone.
He did, but he never really, like, he didn't, like, snap its neck afterwards or, like, eat it.
Didn't he kill a bunch of dudes to get his,
He kicked some of those lizards. He was beating the crap out of all those other lizard things.
I don't know, you never saw
like,
them
die.
Like,
he microphoned one and was, like, kicking and punching all the other ones.
Maybe they're tough lizards. Maybe they can take it.
That could have been, like, the sentient species that ran that planet.
Yeah.
That means they're even tougher. They could take it. He's just roughing them up.
Chosen,
you know?
Guardians to protect the thingamajob.
He's just giving them a little bit of like, hey, yo, I'm new here. Let's get a little bit rough and tumble, and maybe we'll all be friends afterwards. I have this thought. I don't know why. I always have this thought process about raccoons, where I keep thinking. I know it's dumb, but I keep dreaming, like in the back of my head, if I just get in a fight with a raccoon, it'll like totally be cool with me afterwards, and I'll have like a raccoon bro who can go like screw up people I don't like.
But then you'd have rabies.
Well, you know, I'll fight him well so I don't get cut or anything. But then, like, we'll both have a scrap, and I'll punch him in the face a bunch, or like, kick me in the nuts or something, and we'll be like, yeah, man. Like, we fist bump, and I got this raccoon
I was sitting around in the house all by myself a while back watching television, and then I heard all these crazy noises from under the floor. And it turned out there was, like, a gang of raccoons having, like, a raccoon rumble. They were just fighting and just making crazy noises and banging against the bottom of the, like, the underside of the floor. And it was, like, crazy raccoon fight club under my house.
Right? I feel like that's how they must bond or something. So if I want to be friends with raccoons and let them, you know, get them to do what I want, then you just got to get in fights with them. It's logical.
No.
You know, yeah, you know, you're right, but... Sometimes, real late, when I'm real tired, I just sit there and I'm like, especially when I see a raccoon out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, I should fight him. Once I thought I saw a really cute-looking cat, like, sneaking under a garbage can when I was walking around the back of my building. It's like, aw, poor cat stuck in the garbage, and I look underneath, and it was a gigantic raccoon. And I was like, I'm gonna keep walking. And so
that was your chance. Why weren't you like...
Because he was cornered. That's not proper. It's got to be where, you know, the thing where you spot one and they're just standing by a tree and they lock eyes with you and you're like, all right, he's going to move. Like,
you're shooting him a glance across the bar?
Yeah. You know, like,
hey, fellow with the robber mask over there, ordered you a drink.
Yeah, come on. I'll get you a drink. We'll go fight a little bit. Then we'll be friends. I feel like that's how it works with raccoons. Whenever I see them just walking around, you know, being all surly. Anyway, Seth, what do you think about Hound's gut vest?
I don't know. I guess it's okay. I mean, I like that it adds, like, the knife to his chest.
He already has that.
Kind of good. Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay. I've only seen the actual toy once.
Me too.
It was a few days ago, actually.
Well, I mean, outside of Universal Studios, I've only seen it once.
Oh. I saw Galvatron, too, and I was, like, super unimpressed with how gray it was.
I got the Japanese one, so, you know, mine's...
So is that knife detachable, then?
Yeah, it just pegs into his chest.
Okay, so you could peg it off, stick it on the rubbery one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's okay if you really need it, but I don't know.
This is amazing.
How much is this thing going to be? Is it like $20 or is it like $150?
$150, obviously. It's high-end.
Obviously.
The third reply in the thread is, wasn't another company doing something like this as well?
God damn it!
Probably. I mean...
Yeah, apparently SXS was doing. SXS needs to like be louder, because I know SXS. They've made a bunch. They've even made full figures, but they do things so quietly, I keep forgetting they exist.
And this is Doctor Wu's whole jam, to just make dumb little things you attach to your existing figure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, so there's an SXS upgrade kit. I never even heard them announce this. That's how good they are at promoting themselves again. SXS just needs to, they need to get a guy on the boards who's real friendly, and then the threat has to go to hell, and the guy has to leave the boards, and we'll all remember who SXS is.
Just throw a gigantic fit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how things work with a couple other companies of late. That goes. Anyway, that's our new picture pick section. I have another news item I want to talk about, which is basically a fourth new picture pick, but I'm giving it its own section, because it's what I do. We're gonna talk about, I guess, the one that won the fan vote poll of that Million put up for who do you want to see an exclusive done of. So Million, who have done a couple other exclusives, they did like Stepper, for instance, or that translucent video game Starscream. They're gonna do Go Shooter, based on the Deluxe Nightbeat toy, who is in turn based on the Deluxe Bumblebee toy from the IDW Deluxes. The big thing about this, number one, Go Shooter is gonna come with a Target Master. He's gonna come with Bumblebee's Target Master, some version of Blaze Master. He's also been transformed in a way I never even considered this, but they did a different arm transformation that makes him look more like the original Go Shooter, and it actually looks pretty cool. So I'm hoping this guy is not too hard to track down, because I think he turned out pretty well, all things considered. Seth, you were saying something.
Oh, I just love this one picture.
The hater's gonna hate.
Yeah, the speed lines.
Oh, yeah. He's like, walking super fast.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's like, I guess they were going for a running, but it just looks more like he's strolling.
He's got a gun just like attached backwards to his leg. Well, Seth, how do you feel about this Go Shooter? I forgot his American name now. Siren? I think?
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, like the based on something, based on something.
Yep.
I like the multiple levels of...
Oh, this goes deep.
It's a thing, based on the thing, based on the thing.
This goes super
Yay.
Deep.
Yay! No, looks cool. Looks all right. I'm not a hardcore Go Shooter fan, so... But, you know, anyone that could do a power saunter like that is pretty cool.
Well, Ray, what do you think about Ghost Shooter here?
I think it's gorgeous. The decals are really nice. There's a bit of miscoloration on the side panels. I don't really know how I think about that.
Oh, the blue L's?
Yeah.
The thing that's getting me more is the way they kind of bolt... Well, I should watch my language, but it's how I'm reacting to it. The way they got the light bar in there. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That's nonsense. That's great, though. It's like the... Because it's so, like... It's like they're just doing it.
It's low pro. It's low profile, so it could sneak up on you on the highway.
It's so egregious. It's like you want to walk up to him, but you feel like they're just sitting there, arms crossed, going, like, say something. Say something about the light bar.
Didn't you see my sirens were on? No.
No, because you have a giant black box over three quarters of them.
Well, that... It's to keep the profile down in car mode so you don't see them behind you on the highway. And then they get you. That's how they get you.
The capo, man. The Pope. I don't
know, maybe they'll fix the Blue L's or something by the time it comes out.
Yeah.
Or somebody else will release a sticker.
A sticker. Actually, yeah, that would just be, it would be two stickers with like, an, it's an L-shaped white sticker with a black square on one part. There you go. Refer labels, your job is ready and done for you. Just go for it. I think this looks pretty cool. I'm expecting he's going to run probably like 50 to 80 pre-orders, somewhere in that range.
It costs whatever Gog Dog is willing to pay.
Yeah. This was practically made for him. Hopefully it's not going to be too hard to get. I mean, like, Stepper ended up not being insane to get if either you waited long enough or you just didn't go for something that said, hey, we got Stepper, because I know some people kind of sprang on him when he got hard to find for a couple months. But yeah, this is Million, so he's going to be... Yeah, it's a Mail Away exclusive from the Generations Volume 2 book, so it's going to be one of those things where part of his cost is the book you have to buy to get him. And most probably a lot of stores are going to do that thing where they're like, you can get him with the book if you want. Probably a lot of people will say, no, I don't need a book.
What's no one, in the book?
Pictures.
What's in the book?
Pictures of toys, usually an interview. Lots of pictures of toys. Design pics sometimes.
But I could see toys right now.
You can. But these would be Japanese pictures of toys.
Mm.
Imports.
So blurry and tiny.
No, those are factory pictures. That's not from Japan.
There's like a big block of Japanese text across them.
Yeah, watermark. Just watermark pictures in their own book. So hopefully that guy does not become a task once he comes out. Ideally, we'll see pre-orders in the next couple of months. We have a listener question from Tetimus Prime. And this just came in actually recently, but I feel like it's such a good question for both of you that we should hit it right now. This says, hey, WTF at TFW Podcast. Quick question. Because of this podcast and the discussions you have had, I've been introduced to a fair amount of other podcasts, such as Pre-Order 66, Twit, and Moonbase 2. What podcasts do you all listen to? Always looking for new content. And whichever team is not on the show for this question, feel free to answer in the forums. Thanks, Tetimus Prime. Well, the bummer is the even team never listen to us or go on the forums, so we'll have to try something. So as far as other podcasts go, I'm trying to talk while I type, which is, it's surprisingly hard, but as far as other podcasts go, Ray, aside from this podcast, this is fine. What else do you listen to?
Oh, geez. Let me just go through my list. I listen to the Moonbase.
Oh,
I do actually. Well, you got to keep an eye on your enemies, right? I listen to the Bombcast, of course, mm-hmm. And Scoops and the Wolf. So I listen to all the audio stuff Giant Bomb puts out.
Mm-hmm.
My Brother and Me is probably still one of the funniest comedy podcasts going right now. I listen to a little show called WTF at TFW, according to this list. They're a bunch of scrubs.
Sounds like a one-star to me, but...
Yeah, really. I'll leave a bad review tonight.
There aren't even any vowels in that name. I mean, what is...
That feel when... 2005.
Yeah.
Every time I link TFW 2005, someone posts to me, like, tweets at me, that feel when 2005. I listen to Low Visibility, which is a tokusatsu podcast.
Well, I know them.
That's actually one of the best.
Yeah.
Henshin Justice, Retsu Talk, which is a monthly gaming podcast by two Let's Players, Slow Beef and Diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pre-Order
66. Those are great names.
They do what's called Retsu Praise.
They are fun people.
Which are, they find really awful Let's Plays on YouTube, and they comment, they heckle them, like Mystery Science Theater style.
Yeah, and then to their credit, if the person whose Let's Play they heckled contacts them and says, can you please take that down, they will actually take it down.
Yeah, and a lot of time they wind up putting it back up, because the guy goes, actually, it was good publicity.
Yeah.
And then Pre-Order 66.
Oh.
Which is... Needs to put it in more episodes more regularly. I miss them.
Well, you covered a lot of my list. I mean, like, I forgot about Retsu Talk actually being a podcast, because usually I just see it go up on YouTube. But I do check out Retsu Talk now and then. I check out all the Giant Bomb stuff. I also listen to the Steve Austin podcast now and then. That's a fun podcast. The Steve Austin Show and or Unleashed. That's about it for me right now. I kind of all those shows tend to fill up all my transit time at the moment. But I keep downloading other ones anyway because I'm like, oh, someday I'll get to those, and then it becomes a mess.
Yeah.
Seth, what about you? I mean, I know you're a resident resident twit guy.
Yeah, I'm looking at my list on iTunes, and I'm like, wow, there's a bunch of these on here that don't update anymore.
Nintendo Download Extreme.
I still have all those. I have all of those.
You have I have one of those. I want them.
They're so.
I got them.
I love episode 2. It's the best episode.
Yeah, but like, you know, like the Andy and Harrison show, that was all right until they stopped doing it. Like a bunch of bums, small timers. The Bungie podcast will like be silent for years, and then they'll do like, here's 3 episodes, and then they'll be silent for years. Entertainment Earth, listen to their 3 tiny little short shows a week.
I should add those because they're short.
Yeah, they're really. He does 3 episodes a week, and like they're all 5 minutes or less. Sometimes the Toy of the Week podcast can go like as long as 10 minutes.
Oh, geez. Oh.
I download the Giant Bomb Quick Looks, watch them on my iPhone. Giant Bombcast, the Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. Hilarious. It's one of my favorites. I got Moonbase 2 on here. I got The Nerdist. I got The Patch, which is from Rooster Teeth. They strictly talk about video games on The Patch. I also do the Rooster Teeth podcast where they talk about whatever. For the premium podcast from Giant Bomb, I listen to Box Office Bomb, If They Do It. It's not my favorite. Alt F1, I find like really interesting, even though I don't know anything about F1 racing.
I need to check that out. I almost have a couple times when I hit a lull point, but then something else comes out.
Yeah, I love Power Bombcast when they do that once a month. I don't watch wrestling anymore, but I'm fascinated with wrestling still. So
same.
I kind of get a little itchy when I listen to it. Like, maybe I should watch wrestling.
I love hearing people who are like in my position who take the time to watch 1 or 2 episodes and then talk about it. Like, it kind of satisfies my itch.
Yeah. Okay, back to my list. Pre-order 66. I remember when on here. They're super spotty with their releases. And it's kind of annoying because every single episode starts with like them apologizing for not doing episodes more often. And then saying that they have a plan to do episodes more often, and then 6 months go by, and then they don't do another episode. Ricky Gervais doesn't really do a podcast anymore. I still have him listed on here. Savage Lovecast, Dan Savage. It's a sex advice and relationship show that is very, very dirty and not for the children. Don't listen if you're a children. Kevin Smith, Fat Man on Batman. Smodcast. I'm skipping some of these ones that are kind of dead that I just still have subscriptions to, like Smoothie Makers.
Mm-hmm. What?
Which is Smoothie Makers? That's where he interviews like another filmmaker.
Oh, I thought it was a podcast about smoothies.
No,
that would be freaking cool. Someone should do that.
Tell 'em Steve Dave. One of my most favorite shows. It's so good. It's Walt Flanagan and Brian Johnson, two of Kevin Smith's friends, who, if you watch Mallrats, they're Steve Dave and Fanboy.
Yep.
And Brian Quinn from Impractical Jokers. I really enjoy that one. This Week in Tech, and then the last one on my little list, I still have listed here, but it's got the little mark next to it that it designates that it's dead. But at the very bottom of my list, it says Vadiosonic.
Hey, oh, yeah, that RSS feed's dead. But they're still going up.
Really? Where do they go?
YouTube.
Oh, I can't put that on my head.
I think there's a way for YouTube to give me an RSS feed, but I don't know how. I just tell people to go to listen to YouTube.com, and then they just get given an MP3 of it until I figure something out. Because I was paying, who was it? I was paying some hosting thing. And then the payment scheme got screwed up, and I was like, okay, well, I'll switch to PayPal. And then they were like, we don't do PayPal anymore, and I'm like, I don't want to deal with this then. I'm busy. And then I forgot about it for about a month and a half.
Have you guys ever like hate listened to a podcast where it gets worse and worse and worse over time?
Back in 08, I did a couple, and then I was like, this is such an amount of time to spend on something I don't enjoy.
You mean besides Pre-Order 66?
Oh, Canadian Slug.
That's my real answer.
That's just one, like a soft but harsh one right under the chin.
There was one I was listening to for a while. Oh, what was it called? The Super Best Friend Cast, which is the two best friends play guys and two other friends play, talking about video games every week. And they're all like ex-game industry people, really good conversations. But they'd have this one guy on the show who literally ruined the show for me because he was just combative every week. And it's really sort of like awful to listen to kind of person. But you had three people who were really cool and one person who was just intolerable. I hate when that happens. Like, it just... Everyone be likable.
The worst I've had is I've listened to like an episode or two of a podcast where no, like, you know, people don't have good equipment, and I've become a complete insufferable snob about that. Like, I can't handle it when it's like one person's on a really good microphone, two people are on like USB headsets, and one person's like in the back of the room screaming at their MacBook.
are we talking about Canadian Slag again?
I actually can't remember what Canadian Slag sounds like, but. I'm talking about like these ones.
You
also, I think
just
all
describe what Canadian Slag is.
These ones all do the YouTube posting thing I've been doing with Vaudio Sonic, because a lot of people realize like it's kind of an easier way to put a podcast up if you can figure out how to get it up on YouTube, because it's like free hosting.
Yeah.
And the problem with Vaudio Sonic, even though they're still happening, is I don't do them regular enough to feel like I really want to pay like the $5 a month hosting, unless like. Like, I was for a while, and I was like, whatever, I'll just keep paying it, and then, like, some minor inconvenience happened, and I just forgot about it. And I was like, well, you know, this is going to happen again if I sign up for another service.
Well, Comic Book Girl 19 has a podcast she does like that. It goes on YouTube, and it has sort of a video element to it, but it will just be like a camera look pointed straight down at the table. All the hosts are sitting around, and you kind of see them move things around periodically.
Yeah.
So there isn't really much to see, but I would listen to it if I could download it and have it on my iPod. But like if I wanted to listen to it when I was out and about, I would have to be running the YouTube app on my phone, burning up battery life and running out my supposedly unlimited data plan before AT&T is like, oh, you use too much of your unlimited data plan. Now we're going to throttle you for the rest of
that.
The month.
I hate that. You should run it through listentoyoutube.com. It'll just process it into an MP3. It's going to like push a button.
Yeah, you know what's easier? Click and subscribe, and then it just happens.
Yeah, not pushing a button. I know how it feels. That's why I stopped pirating a lot of...
Click subscribe once, and then it just happens.
That's why I stopped pirating a lot of TV and stuff, is once Netflix happened, I was like, if it's not on Netflix, I just don't really want to watch it. Because it's too hard to pirate it. I have to go through all these buttons, and then, like, get all this video, and if I could just go on Netflix, I'd be doing it legally anyway, and it's easier. Weird.
Well, that's the best way to fight piracy. Just make it easier to not pirate.
Exactly.
Make it a better experience and people will happily pay for it.
Gabe Newell had a whole thing about that back when Steam was starting to get big. Like, he talked about how like he had managed to curb, like he sort of like accredited Steam with being one of the things that sort of like curbed video game piracy quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you look at those Steam summer sales and it's like, oh, I could pay $5 for this game on sale. And I have it legit, fair and square, and it's going to be supported with updates.
Well, it's like flipped upside down now. It's like, people used to pirate lots of games. Now many people buy games they never play because it was on sale. Like, they won. They figured it out. They cracked the code.
Yeah, let's not start reading out those lists, because I'll get sad real fast.
I'll get just upset, because there are some games that I bought where I wanted to play them, and I actually literally don't want to play them anymore, but I can't. I own them now, and I'm like, I don't want... I still have all these games I want to play I haven't turned on.
I used to be the kind of person who... I didn't hold on to games at all. Once I finished a game, I would sell it and use that money to buy new games. And now it's just gotten to a point where it's like, I have 150 games on Steam that I'm going to beat them. And then what?
Yeah. Welcome. You can go and get some badges out of them and then sell those for a couple nickels.
Mm-hmm.
And do enough of that. That's the one thing I should do is go through them all to farm out the badge limit and then like sell it all for a handful of pennies. And then I'll have enough money to buy another game.
Oh yeah. I've made like almost $2. Yes. Selling badges.
Well, back when the cards first came out, I actually managed to make like a quick $20 because the market hadn't settled on a price.
Oh man, that's like back when City of Heroes first got costume parts, and people were paying like 1 million to 8 million influence for a pair of wings, and I got like two sets I didn't want, and like within 3 months, wings cost 20,000 influence. It was fantastic. Shin Sector was living off that money for a good month. It was great. Anyway, I hope that answered your question, Tenemus. That's like a gigantic list of podcasts for you to start digging your face into, so hopefully some of them stick. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about things we got, because that's the way we roll on this show, dog. So, just kick back and, I don't know, drink some water. You know, a lot of people don't drink soda. I'm part of a falling, like, growingly tiny crowd now, but if you're one of us soda drinkers, just kick back and drink some water. You know, you'll feel all right. Then wash it down with a couple liters of soda.
Make me.
No.
Okay. At least you're honest.
Hey, small business man. Hey, small business man. Hey, small business man. Try that again. Hey, small business man, small business man, small business man, got small business going. Hey, small business man, small business man, small business man, got small business going. Noise coming out of the computer over here is
small businessman.
You are a wizard. You are a businessman. That's me. Whoa, watch out. Be careful. Yeah, you are a wizard. You are a businessman. That's me. Whoa, watch out. Because you know what I would do. Dang, small businessman. You are a wizard, man. A wizard, man. Dang, small businessman. You are a wizard, man. A businessman.
A small business man. Small business man. Small business man. Small business man. A small business man. Small business man. Small business man. Small business man.
We're back off mic. We're talking about MMOs, which meant that I was being an old man on a porch waving a cane lamenting City of Heroes now, like, 2 years in, year and a half into its death. But it sounds like there are great things going on in other games that are surviving. So, that's great. That's wonderful. I hope they do great. Just great.
There is on Something Awful a City of Heroes thread that is still going, and it is full of some of the saddest people.
Oh, like the two Facebook groups, how those became so depressing after 6 months.
It's just people sitting around going, remember this?
You remember the power bar? Do you remember Galaxy? Oh, God, Galaxy City was so great. Like back in 2004, it was like magical, the virtue server Galaxy City.
So, Chris, what'd you get this week?
Oh, man, I got a whole lot of memories about City of Heroes.
Man, you people need to move on.
I tried to move on to another superhero game and remake all my superheroes.
That's not moving on. That's not moving on.
It didn't feel the same. We're going to talk about Transformers we got this week. I'm going to go guess first. It doesn't have to be like this week. But, Ray, what's some Transformers you got of late?
I wasn't supposed to get this. It kind of showed up by surprise. It's the Mastermind Creations Talon,
mm-hmm.
which is the first arm we've gotten for Feral Rex, and I don't remember pre-ordering it. But I guess I think it might have been one of the last things I ever pre-ordered, and then it got delayed six or seven times.
Oh, you must have paid up front too. Like if it just showed up?
Yeah, well, I just got like, I got a shipping notification last week. And I think it was Automaton.
Oh yeah, you would have paid up front then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, okay. you know, worse things can happen.
Yeah, it could have been not money up front. Because yeah. That wouldn't have worked out.
No, that would have been bad. Those are the worst when you forget about a pre-order and it shows up. It's like, all right, so that'll be 11,000 yen. You're like, oh, yeah.
That's why I have stopped doing pre-orders.
Yeah.
Altogether. Too. Like, cut it out. If I want it that bad, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
He's really nice. I have Leoduct and Bovis. I got to track down Fortis at some point. But I think he's my favorite.
So... I'm making the review video for him, so I spent a good like 3 days writing stuff and like kind of staring at him, and I was trying to figure out if it was just like new toy sense that was making me think he's the best standalone of the four so far.
I think Leoduct is the weakest.
Yeah,
I think he does too much.
Yeah, and like, he
every
suffers,
mode suffers a bit.
He suffers torso fatigue, I think, of like because he looked at first like he'd be the best, but then when I got him, I'm like, I like him. But he has the most sacrifices of all of these so far.
And he makes a stellar torso.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like that, the light up eyes and the huge chest and the Gaugaigar.
Well, and they managed to pull that off without having to parts form anything, which I thought was fantastic. But yeah, I think like the more I've had Talon, the more I've kind of cemented, like, no, I think he is the best bang for your buck standalone figure if you're only going to get one.
And like, there are like minor gripes I could have with him. Like, I kind of hate when I get a toy that has a sniper rifle and you can't do anything with it.
I've been able to get him to kind of do stuff. It involves a lot of BSing and playing with tolerances of the handles.
I don't with MMC and tolerances, like...
Well, at least on mine. I don't know about yours, but the thing I really liked is his melee weapons are not terrifying to get into his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a great upgrade.
That is a step up. Although they are now part of the Oppenheimer sword, they've been absorbed into the mass.
Yeah. So I've not connected mine to the other three because I want to actually get filming done on him. And I'm like, if I just turn him into an arm and create a one-armed Feral Rex, I'm never getting Talon out of there for another like good month.
He's actually on my desk right now. Like he's just out there hanging out with Figure Arts Mario and Professor Layton, just being like, I'm a bird, the gun, what's up?
Yeah. So how do you feel about the orange pylons on either side of his bird torso? Basically the robot mode arms.
I deal. Like it's like it gives him little like chest mounted guns, which kinda I like that.
Yeah.
My one big complaint is that if you're not playing around with the wings too much, it looks that they're very square and rectangular. And the solution to that is to fold them out, which means he takes up way too much room.
I like the extra tilt you get though, so at least you don't have them sticking like perpendicular to the floor outwards. Like you can give them that slight upward tilt.
Yeah, I got them that right now. They're kind of both closed in, and one's kind of slowly arching up, like he's creating cover for himself.
Oh yeah, I did that pose. Like I was thinking about the what was it? That G.I. Joe sniper who looks like he's got giant wings.
Jungle Viper?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like it's supposed to be like a built-in sniper cover system.
Well, didn't they tease that originally that they were going to do that with him?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of can. That's I think like at least halfway the pose he's in on the front of the box.
Mm-hmm.
You can't like fold it all over around him into like a little sniper hut, but you can give him like a little bit of a barrier to hide behind.
Yeah. I think one of the problems with Talon, and it's probably going to be a problem with Tigris, too. It's Tigris, right? The next one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that Bovis and Fortis are gigantic blocks with heads and legs, because they're a bull and a rhino. And those are hard modes to mess up, like in any configuration, because they're big, stocky dudes that turn into big, stocky animals that turn into big, stocky legs.
Yeah.
Whereas you have to have this sort of lithe creature that turns into a bird and also a big, stocky arm.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think his bird mode suffers a bit for that, because it winds up big and stocky.
Yeah, like I looked at it and I was like, the first thing I'd want to do with this bird mode is figure out a way to compress the robot arms into the chest. Mm-hmm. And then I look in the chest and it's full of engineering for the combiner modes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, I understand why this turned out the way it turned out.
I don't understand why you'd ever use him as a backpack entirely.
If you get the sixth one, having seen in person a symmetrical Feral Rex, I can see the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Because also it's a heavier Feral Rex.
I just think that kind of ruins Talon and sort of like the value of having him. Like, you're basically paying $100 for a pair of wings at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I think it's more just like an option. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that bums me out is apparently with Tigris they've lost the ability to have Mecha Shiva Feral Rex. Because it used to be, like, the original way it was engineered, you could just keep stacking the arm guys on each other to make more and more arms out of the same shoulder. And apparently that, for some other reason, that ended up having to be nixed. Or it got, like, the hole got covered.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I would only have done that once, like, made a Shiva Rex, because I would have just invited someone over who had the arms, and we could have had a good time. But, yeah.
Well, you'd have to buy additional feet for additional hands.
I just stick guns or blades on some of the hands. It's just like, mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah,
he does look fantastic, like in arm mode.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to finish a combiner for 5 years, and at this point, like, it's I'll get halfway and then I'll be like, screw it.
I think a lot of people hit that with Uranos, though. Like,
yeah, Uranos and also Menasor. Mm-hmm. Fans Project Menasor. I just thought it kind of got halfway and was like, eh.
Yeah.
I completed Glacial Lord at TFCon, which was fantastic. But it didn't hit that itch of like, I want that childhood dream combiner that, like, is gigantic and poseable and like has it all.
Yeah, like, you got a combiner, but you didn't get the unrealistic combiner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it too, because I whenever I look at something that Mastermind does, it's like, I want to have this complete Feral Rex, and I want to look at him, and I want to look at the Nightmorpher Commander again, and go like, alright, they went from this to this. Like, that is a company that grew up.
Yep. If I ever do another combiner, it's probably going to be the Mach-E Toys Computron. Because next time, I'm not doing this one limited time thing again.
Yeah.
this is madness. This is not a way a human being is supposed to live.
I think if companies want to really advance and still do combiners, they've got to take the Mach-E Toys model and just do a box.
Yep.
Because that sells so much better if it's all there. People, if someone really wants it, they are more likely to just spend $500 once than $100 for like 8 months.
Well, it's like I'm a grad student, so I will go from having money to not having any money ever again, and then half a year later, I'll have money again. And it's not in such a way where I can save things. It's like, when I have the money to blow on something stupid, I have it for a week.
Yeah. And then reality creeps and goes like, oh, you still have money.
Yeah.
Let's
turns
deal
out
with
internet
that.
Costs money.
That's a, yeah, it shouldn't.
And I need to eat food and pay for rent and you know, and little incidentals keep popping up.
Internet should be free for everyone. I only say that because I pay for internet too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these companies are going to have to move into that model, except for TFC. They will never change. They're
just going to keep making lackluster ass, lackluster.
Shuffle one foot in front of the other until they get through every combiner ever, because apparently they have the capital to do that. And, you know, their Defensor looks a lot better than their Predaking and their Superion.
I don't, that hot spot.
He looks a lot like a 2006 toy in the way that I liked the Hercules bots. I don't want him, but at least I feel like there's something there. Like the Uranos bots and then the Predaking ones especially. I just was looking at them like, it looked like someone did it in their sleep. And I don't mean that as they look bad. It's just they look like they were formed out of a mold.
Well, I was talking to someone who was like a big G1 fan. He didn't know about third party. And I said, take a look at this. And I showed him a picture of myself with the two of the Feral Rex bots on it. And he goes, what is that?
Is that the third party?
No, he didn't. He had no idea what that was.
Oh, like, okay.
He's just like, well, why do you have all these amazing looking headmasters? Did you make those?
You should have said yes.
Yes. Yeah. In my spare
I did.
Time.
My name online is GZI Toys. I'm a genius.
And sort of showing that to someone who's like in that weird Venn diagram of Transformers fan and doesn't follow any of the news, it was sort of amazing to see that reaction.
Yeah.
Of people are doing this? Where is this? Where do I get these? You know? And I showed him like the TFC one and the MMC one, and he just didn't know what to make of the TFC one. It's like, well, this looks awful. And so he wasn't even like a connoisseur of third party like myself.
Yeah, not a high end, you know, paid to talk about these things kind of person.
Not a lapel doffing, monocle tweaking. No.
Like, you walk into the TFCon dealer room and you just loudly declare, "Excuse me, hold up your Yelp card," and people just start throwing you discounts left and right.
Oh, was that a Toy World headmaster?
I, 90. I have a $20 bill in my shoe. I'll give you this one.
But yeah, it just everyone I've shown the MMC one to, like, that looks amazing. Like, how much is that? That much? No thanks. But
yeah. Oh, the pricing is wonderful to dump on someone who doesn't know about that stuff. Yeah. It's great.
And then torturing friends now. It's like they're trying to figure out how to spend $500 on toys.
Well, I'm glad you got Talon, regardless of you know, whether or not you remembered that you had him on the way. At least that means, you know, you've got the one-armed Feral Rex, and like even armless Feral Rex was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just to mess around with. So whenever you do get Tigress, at least you don't have to sit there looking at like this half-formed thing in pieces. Like, you've got, I think that also that's a great step forward that other companies are adopting, is the model of sell two legs then sell the torso. Like, you know, don't do this nonsense of like, we're going to sell you all the limbs and then the torso. Now it lets you do something with every new figure after you've got three.
And the torso is always the main selling point. I think if the torso is bad, why even bother?
Yeah, and that's what's making me real worried about the Warbitron approach, where they seem to be doing limbs then torso, at least on their Combaticons.
That's what killed Uranos.
Yeah.
Was it the limbs were whatever. Like, the limbs could get away with a lot, but once you put out that Silver Bolt and it looked bad, like, yeah. Capital B, bad, it just, like, people just started selling them.
Yeah. I remember when that came to pass, and I was like, wait, there's a giant metal rod stick? What? All right, so aside from Talon, did you get anything else Transformers-y of late?
No, not really. A bunch of TFCon stuff, but it's long past.
Well, all the heat is gone. They've cooled down.
I got Brainstorm.
Yeah.
Smart Robin. You know, he's really cool. Columpio, I kind of soured on him. Cooled down on him a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah. By the way, just for everyone else listening, in case you didn't see the photos, the regular Columpio is getting out there, and it looks like he still has the burnished silver chrome on the center of the dinosaur, which is the best chrome on the version that we all got. So don't worry, you're not getting something that's categorically worse. You're still getting the best part of the one that we got. All right. Well, Seth, did you Transformer at all this past week?
Well, hearing Ray talk about cooling down on Columpio, isn't that a bummer when, like, you're at a convention and everyone's, like, super hyped for, like, a specific thing and everyone's trying to grab that specific thing, and then afterwards you go,
what were we doing?
why were we all so hyped for this? I mean, it's all right, but...
Well, if you ever want to see proof of the theory of, you know, natural human empathy, just look at something like that, where everyone's all into the same thing and we're all in the same place, and we all brought lots of money to the same place for the reason of buying stuff.
Yeah, watch how Columpio single-handedly ruined, like, 40 other tables at TFCon.
Yeah.
because I was hearing rumblings that a lot of dealer tables at TFCon weren't too happy with the fact that everyone walked in there, walked straight to the Fans Project table, dropped $400, and then left.
Well, and you know what? That was not my fault nor Ben's fault. No one at that show should have been sitting there watching YouTube the night before. Like, people should have been sleeping.
I remember sitting there like, Columpio.
Partying.
Yeah, partying.
And then I saw someone with the box, and I was like, okay.
Well, that freaking happened to me with Metroplex at BotCon 2013, when Big Bad had brought, like, you know, 150 of them or something. And I was like, I can wait. And then, like, 30 people walked past me carrying a Metroplex. Half of them were people I knew, going like, hey, man, I got a Metroplex. I was like, that's great. You got a... need to take part in this time, ghost.
And then the hobo smell kind of comes across and lifts you off your feet.
Yeah.
And you just kind of float over to the table.
The smoke forms into a beckoning finger, and I'm just like, I have money in my belt I can throw at this.
It just slowly slides into your pocket and the pulls out the wallet.
But you know what? At least I've got the stupid story of taking Metroplex in a duffel bag onto a plane. Well, Seth, that I don't know how we got on that track, but I was asking you if you got any Transformers this past week.
I did.
Well,
I got Bluster and Trench.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got Bluster and Trench.
Someone hooked you up?
Yeah, the secret code. I guess didn't want his anymore.
Oh,
cooling down.
It was already open. But it was fine. Everything was there and it wasn't damaged or nothing. I just didn't think to ask, like, did you already open this?
Yeah.
But it's fine. It was, you know, fair
advice.
You know
what? If it's not sticky, then whatever.
Well, that's the first time anything passed through Secret Code's hands without ending up sticky, so I should count myself lucky. The secret is maple syrup.
Ew.
On his fingers at all times. Stick a finger.
What do you think of, so I'll ask you the thing that was a big talking point at TFCon. What do you think of how they come together into vehicle mode?
It's not the best part of them. It's pretty finicky. Things don't like to stay in their tabs. I don't think their vehicle modes are especially impressive. So that's not what I got them for anyway. I got them because I think the robots look super cool. Also because of Huffer. Also because I love the novelty of them just straight up being Mario and Luigi colors.
Yeah.
That box, the Mario and Luigi box is great. With all its kind of like retro NES kind of vibe to it.
All the pixel art screenshots inside.
Yeah, and the company's name, like, designed to look like the Nintendo seal.
Mm-hmm.
That was on all those old games, the officially approved games. It's cool. And I like how, just with collapsing the leg, you get the height difference between the two.
Yeah.
It's neat. I think they're neat. I like them. I like the original Derek White designs. I like just all the reference to them. Just that transformation is the weak part, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and having messed with them more at home, I found, like, the transformation, when we were doing it, like we were messing with them in a hotel room, and it was all getting kind of janky, and I was like, oh, man. Once I sat down with them, I was like, oh, wait, there are a few guiding crevices and stuff in these guys that makes their transformation a lot easier to do. And, like, if I sit here and I, like, put all the tabs together in the right order and then, like, squeeze it the right way, everything kind of works better than it did at TFCon. So they're just, like, they're rickety, but yeah, they are more solid than I thought they were on the first day I messed with mine.
Yeah, well, you know, anything that's, you know, meant to be Huffer-ish and has that big cab behind his head, I gotta get it. I got it.
Yeah.
It's required.
Huffer completist.
Yep.
Which deco did you prefer? Like, if you had to go back and just buy one of them, one set.
If I was only going to get one set, I'd want the Huffer and Pipes colored ones, because that's what I was coming for initially, was the Hufferness. And those are the colors Derek Wyatt did them in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more direct reference. I like the Mario and Luigi color ones just for the novelty of it all. Just because it's silly and dumb. That says robot Mario and Luigi that turn into space pickup trucks. It's just stupid.
And they come with a wrench and a plumber. Plumber?
Plunger.
Plumber? Why did I call it a plumber? That's not what a plumber looks like.
You would know.
Let me tell you. Had some times with plumbers and plungers. One time, and like the sewage system got backed up, and it was the worst thing that ever happened in my entire life at that moment, because I never knew sewage could smell that bad. Anyway,
Well, some people refer to a plunger as a plumber's helper. So if you're a little quicker on your feet, you could have just spun.
Plumber's helper?
Right. You could have dragged it in, but you're not quick enough, I guess.
No, I just choose to sit loudly on the whoopee cushion of my failures.
Oh.
His legs out in the air, just woo!
Good yeah. for you.
Well, aside yeah, but, from...
Well, and when I saw that Galvatron, the Galvatron figure, I was like, oh, the Galvatron. And then I was looking at it through the plastic window in the box, and I was like, just, it doesn't look like anything. It's just gray with, like, a little bit of blue, and there's nothing to his face. It's just, he's just got this gray head. And then I felt, like, all kind of bummed out about the whole thing.
The Japanese version adds a bit of gray paint to make his face actually look like a face, which helps way more than you might think. But it's also the Japanese version.
Anything would have helped.
Yeah,
but it's like dry brushing or anything. Come on, I still think the truck looks great. Like I love that truck design. It's like really slick and awesome.
It's big too on that toy.
Yeah, but I was just looking at the robot through the box, and I was just like, I don't know, just it's not. I'm not excited at all. It just looks very flat and bland.
I suspect if you ever decide you want to get that toy, you'll get another chance and another chance and another chance.
I suspect I will.
Aside from Huffer pipes and plumbers and plungers, did you get anything else Transformers-y this week?
No, not this week.
Not this week.
Like all that crazy, all the weird kid single change and like crazy like dude on back of Dinobot figures, like all that junk, I'm starting to see go on clearance all over the place.
Yeah, some of the one step stuff I'm kind of into, but then I saw how in Japan they just added like 50 paint apps to the one step things, which makes them look amazing.
So is Age of Extinction, like, is that toy line just dead?
It's not dead so much as it is like four waves and that's it. Like really? as far as they've announced, it is like it's gonna end with Slog and Snarl.
I kind of expected like a whole slew of what they always do is a bunch of original characters that are leagues ahead of anything on the level of quality that came out in the original couple of waves.
That's Snarl. He's green.
Well, it sounds like from what I've kind of heard, I don't know how valid it is, but it sounds like sales on the Age of Extinction stuff have not been what everybody hoped for.
Yeah,
like, the movie has done very well. The toys haven't.
They're suffering as part of just like the full global like movie toy, movie merch sales dip. And I think that like the reason why there are not like eight waves planned for Age of Extinction might be a predictive safety measure. Expecting that to happen.
Well, and they're just going to roll into the Combiner War thing, which is your like in between subline.
Yeah, and then we're going to move into
the cartoon starts.
New cartoon, and then the word deluxe is going to start to go away, which is going to be super weird.
Oh well, you guys were talking about was it on the Even team you were talking about the names?
I think so. And
they don't really mean anything, and where did they come from anyway?
Yeah.
Now, wasn't when they introduced? Didn't they introduce the name Voyager class during Cybertron?
Yeah.
And weren't certain characters referred to as Voyagers?
I don't think they were called Voyagers in the fiction, but like the story of the show was they're on a voyage around the galaxy.
Okay, maybe there's an assumption in those early days that, oh, there's this, just, it's going to be a thing, like, these are the Voyagers.
Yeah, it's a buzzword.
Around.
That's like back when they introduced Leader Class as well. Yeah. And originally it was because these are the Leader toys, and then we had, like, Leader Class non-leaders. Right.
Well, that's probably where everyone started making that assumption.
Yeah.
That they were more like ranks, or they were also ranks, but not just size classes, but... Yeah, you know, whatever.
Deluxe, you know, end of the day, deluxe isn't even, like, anywhere near the top-level price point, but it's the fanciest-sounding word, so I can see where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is, I'm never gonna... Like, I don't like the word warrior. It's all weird and it's uncohesive. It has no like anchors. It's just this big long noise. The warrior. Like there's nowhere for my tongue to just lay down for a second. It's like the only way it works is if I get all, you know, like Ultimate Warrior and I start saying like warrior with like a Y in the middle. Woyer. Woyer. I don't know.
But the whole like subline thing, like some of my favorite figures have been from like filler lines. So, you know, I'm stoked. Filler lines seem great. Yeah. They don't have any, they usually don't have anything that they have to emulate. Like they don't have to look like a movie. They don't have to look like a cartoon. They can just like kind of do whatever and then they get to do more awesome stuff, it seems.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, they're also, that filler line's gonna have some more Stunticons for you, and it looks like they're, you know, Motormaster's got his head in a box. They did the thing they're supposed to do.
Yep.
In all this time, I was really thinking hard about it. I don't think I got any new Transformers this last week.
Again?
I was supposed to get the Japanese versions of Age of Extinction, New Bumblebee and Snarl, but the delivery was missed.
Why do you even do a Transformer podcast?
I got my hooks in early.
You don't even
March 08, just well, June 08.
You're not even a fan anymore. Stuck my hooks in. You don't care about the product.
I just sit around here talking about MMOs and like Coke Zero and
I'm happy there's a glut. There's a drought.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. You need a drought every now and then to, you know, buy clothes and food and pay your rent and stuff.
Well, and I really liked a lot of the Age of Extinction Generations toys, particularly because a lot of them were the Dinobots, and those things just resonate with me. And I really like that within a couple months, it's like, hey, I got them all. I got that, finished the set. I got that sense of completion. And it didn't drag on long enough for me to get kind of sick of them.
Well, do you remember 2010? Where it's like 2009, 2010, where it was like, there's just constant stuff.
Yeah.
Everything was coming out all at once. Third party was kind of kicking into high gear. And
well, that was the money year. And that's when we had like the last year of big deluxes too.
Yeah. That's when like the movie line was going just bananas.
Yeah.
And I just like, I still go through boxes occasionally. Like I can't even sell these.
I think that year, that period, every three or four podcasts, I'd just be going like, we have literally nothing to complain about. Everywhere you turn, every niche of product you want is being filled right now.
the day is coming where I'm most likely going to take my movie one stuff and just drop it at Goodwill.
That's what I did.
Here, dude, go away. Just be gone.
I had to move last August from Sault Ste. Marie, which is northern Ontario, to St. Catharines, which is southern Ontario, and I had one car to do it in. So I just looked at my toy collection and went, movie toys, get out.
So a lot of my movie toys are still over on the West Coast, but I was looking at them, and my movie one collection is actually really small, because I just got like screen characters and then all the cool AllSpark ones that happened at the end of the line, and they fit like perfectly into a shelf. Just like, here's a cast, here's the movie one cast, this is like the selection of toys. And I'm like, it's like not enough of them to be taking up space that I want to get rid of them, and also a lot of them are the ones you can't move. Except for, I just saw this, Nurse Midnight tweeted this on Twitter, someone sold a loose complete Leader Brawl for, how much was it? I'm going to double check this.
So I got it up right now. $260.
Yeah,
why? Loose... What happened?
The movie leader toys. The movie leader toys have held and increased in value.
How?
I don't know, but go look at how much Jetfire sells for. Go look at how much the crappier leader Megatron, the second movie one who turns into the tank with the dinky shriveled infant arm, sometimes sells for insane.
Jetfire's like 170.
Yeah, the movie leader toys, for whatever reason.
I gave away that Jetfire about a year ago. I was just, hey, take this.
I threw that Brawl in the damn garbage.
Yeah. I never saw Brawl going. I thought Brawl was going to be the odd man out. Like, the Optimuses also don't go quite, because there's so many versions of them. But I guess Brawl has just been caught up in the same thing that caught Megatron. I like that Brawl toy. I remember I got that right before I went to Japan, and I was like, I don't want to buy a toy and then leave for 3 months, so I'm going to take him with me to Japan.
Oh, right. It's decent.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. It has an indefensible thing where he only really has one pose, despite having all those joints. But I remember it was so cool because I was like, because the Deluxe Brawl was so weird and like didn't fit in at all with the other cast toys. And then you got this one. It's like, I can have the whole cast of Movie Decepticons, because at the time there were like five of them. So it was easier. I mean, technically in this new movie, there's like, there are two villains and they both have a toy. But yeah, yeah, this is crazy. If you're going to like dump movie toys, just quickly do a cursory check on eBay before you do so, it seems. I didn't think I'd be saying that, because apparently for ages, people have not been able to give some movie toys away. Anyway, I think that also brings us to the end of our Transformers section. I wish I had some Transformers-y to talk about. I don't even think, like, in my little drawer here of toys I mess with, I don't think there's anything that I forgot about over the last... I brought Breacher home with me when I came back from BotCon.
Good man.
So I was like, I don't have Breacher here, I need Breacher. I brought him with me also because of the number of people who said they don't know who Breacher is, and I got really mad. But I did do a really stupid purchase that was off-topic. So I was at Toys R Us.
All of them Tenkai Nights?
Oh, no, that was calculated. although I have no idea how I never got the flying one. And I saw five more bags, and I felt them up, and none of them were the flying one. I was like, what the hell? But I was at Toys R Us.
Did you get that Axe Cop toy that's the T-Rex with sunglasses and machine gun arms?
So I've seen him, but I haven't bought him.
I haven't bought it either. I'm waiting for it to be on sale.
Me too.
As soon as I see it on sale, I'm grabbing it.
I love it. It's like the idea of an Axe Cop toy is the perfect cap to the whole concept of Axe Cop. But yeah, I don't want to actually like pay lots of money for him. But no, I was at Toys R Us. And in a bin at Toys R Us, I saw all those X-Men Marvel Legends Jubilee Build-A-Figure figures.
Oh, boy. Here
and a whole bunch of them were just Wolverine. I was like, ah, whatever. And then I saw a Storm. And I know that Storm is super, super rare out of the case. And she's the one who also comes with like 90% of Jubilee. So I was like, well, well, Storm's here. And there were two Storms and a Magneto. And I was sitting there going like, well, I guess I have to. So I bought the four figures that you need to make Jubilee. I left Wolverine behind because he doesn't come with any Jubilee parts. And so this sounds really weird.
Well, it's not like you need Jubilee to incentivize parts. A Wolverine toy.
I know. Well, you know what? Usually they would. So you'd have to end up with the Wolverine if you're someone who doesn't want one in the first place. But they didn't. Thank goodness. So I don't have that Wolverine. But I got the rest of them. So, just quickly going through them. One of them is Magneto, and so Magneto's the one that disappointed me the most, because I got him and he looks okay, and I go to move his hips. And you remember those hips that we thought we were all done with? The Iron Man 2 hips? The weird, like, it's kind of a universal joint but isn't hips?
Oh.
So he's got those, and I was like, I never wanted to see you again. You stupid design choice. So that kind of bummed me out a bit. He feels very old. He feels like an old toy that's been put in a new box. There's also a Cyclops, and it's Cyclops in... So I haven't read the comics, but I try to stay abreast of some of the plot points. This is like angry Cyclops.
Yeah, that's like 1 inch from being a supervillain Cyclops.
Yeah. And the costume's kind of cool. And as a figure, I forgot, I went looking up, apparently, like, there's a whole Masters of the Universe style thing with these where it's like they have a set number of bucks they use for a lot of Marvel figures on the scale. I can't remember what his buck is, but it's a good one. It's nice to pose. It stands real well. I was able to get him in an Optic Blast pose, like, immediately, and he just stood solidly on the desk. I kind of like him.
Psyche is one of my most favorite superhero characters, but... Whenever I see pictures of that figure, I just think he looks too muscle bound.
He's
too
really
muscly.
He's really sinewy, and like he's like being all black, like it's glossy, so it catches light, which just makes all his sinews like glow. Also, his belt is a separate piece, and his belt looks really dumb, but I kind of like it. It's got how many pouches has it got? It's a belt with an X for a buckle, and there are 9, 10 pouches in a row, and then the buckle happens again. I don't know what he keeps in all those pouches, because he's Cyclops. He doesn't need to carry things. He shoots lasers. And then there's also...
Well, don't tell Jim Lee. He put, like, 20 pouches on 90 Cyclops.
Man, 90 Cyclops had his hair showing, which was just... I don't know, man.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's okay.
He shows his hair a lot.
Yeah, so I like it when he
used to just be the band advisor for a while in the 90s.
I like it when he, I mean, that's cool, but there's something, I don't know, something kind of goofy in a way I enjoy when he's just wearing that weird, like, full body sock where only his mouth is exposed. Mm. I don't know.
Like, when it was all blue except for his yellow undies.
Yeah. And his big pirate boots. But another really cool figure in this line is Storm. You know, the rare one. She's actually a really interesting figure, and she's got this great setup where she has an actual, like, Storm cape, like the weird, like, W cape. Uh-huh. And it attaches inside her ab crunch and then has rings that attach to her arms and kind of just float a bit. Like, they can kind of tightly grip on her elbows. But it's kind of neat. The problem with her is she's got high heels. Now, not like pointy stiletto high heels. She's just got like platform high heels. But yeah. It still means that she can't, like, you can get her to stand eventually. But, like, I'm just looking at it going, like, this is like this toy makes the case for why it's so dumb to have, like, a combat uniform with platform heels. Because I just sit there going, like, the moment she stops flying, she just touches down and spends, like, an hour just, like, falling down. Getting fallen down.
Yeah. The Gamora figure has that problem.
Yeah.
I think the Black Widow also. It's just, yeah.
Like,
I mean, if you can draw that fine, but, like, in physical practice, because it makes her feet so tiny.
Yeah, and it makes her have a wide, like, front of the foot, and then, it tapers back into nothing at the heel, which is the weight-bearing part.
Right.
And I've been told that it's even worse on the stiletto heel figure base, like the White Queen Black Cat figure base. And I can only imagine. I think it's kind of, like, it's kind of okay for Storm, because, like, even on the back of the box, they have her in a flying pose with, like, the little subtitle saying, hand support needed for this pose, so the figure does not fly by itself. But, you know, Storm flies, so, you know, technically she never actually has to land on those stupid shoes. Also, it's Mohawk Storm, which is, like, the best Storm.
Oh, yes. Good.
So,
the best Storm.
It's pretty great, because it's like Storm in a modern costume, but with the Mohawk, so it's, like, the best of everything.
No, I want the leather vest and the jeans Storm.
Like classic Mohawk Storm?
Yeah.
Like, was it Morlocks Mohawk Storm?
Yeah, then no powers Storm.
Yeah.
She kind of lost her powers around that time. And still beat up Cyclops.
So the fourth figure, apparently he's based on the Sabretooth body. And it's an okay body, too. It's a much taller one. And this is a character who I love, and I have never read a single story he's in. I only like him because when I was a kid, I got a toy of him, and I thought he looked cool. And I kind of made a point of never actually reading anything he's in so that I don't lose that love for him. But I got Strife with a Y.
Thanks, Rob.
And he's
Thanks,
got
Rob Whitefield.
The best stupid costume. His helmet is just like a bunch of knives.
Yeah.
They're all sticking off in every direction.
Can you remove his mask?
No, they got rid of the worst part of the old toy where he has Cable's face.
Uh-huh.
That's because that's like implying a story.
Well, yeah, it's Cable. He's alternate reality Cable. He's mirror universe Cable.
I like him better
he's evil Cable.
No, he's just Strife. He's got shoulder spikes and thigh spikes, but knives on his thighs or shins. Also, he comes with this tiny, dinky little sword. And I don't know why, but it looks so funny. Because the sword is, like, I think it's about the length of his arm. And he's, like, giant. So this sword just looks like this tiny, flaccid little sword that he's carrying. And he's covered in spikes.
I bet you anything you could find a panel of Rob Liefeld drawings where that is completely accurate. Where there's, like, probably, like, every other panel it's a giant sword. But he just, like, I don't know, make it tiny to fit.
And it's got a little skull on the grip and looks like an angry monkey idol thing. And it's all in, like, this off brass gold-ish PVC. It looks so, I love it. Like, I give him the sword, and now he goes from looking like Strife to just looking like confused Strife. Because he's holding this, like, toothpick.
And it comes with the head.
He comes with Jubilee's head and effects parts. So yeah, if you just get him, you can have him hold Jubilee's head, and he's like, I cut Jubilee's head off, I'm Strife, with a silent E on the end and a Y. And he's got gigantic rivets on each nipple on his armor. He's just so great. He just looks so stupid, and I love him. I love Strife.
I don't know. I was deep into all the mutant books when they introduced Strife. And this was before I developed a dislike for Rob Liefeld. I had had my two encounters with him at the time, but, you know, it didn't really bother me that much. And this was when Cable was super popular. And then they introduced this mysterious new villain with, like, his knife helmet. And it was this big mystery, like, who is this guy? Where'd he come from? And then they take his mask off, and it's Cable. And it's like, this just got dumb. And now in retrospect, it's just Rob Liefeld doing the Rob Liefeld thing.
Yeah.
It's like he had one fairly unique character, which was Cable. And every other character he's ever created was a ripoff of something else. So he just ripped off Cable and made Strife. And
also, just, according to the back of Strife's box, he's not alternate reality Cable. He is a clone of Cable.
Okay, well, clone. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he was a clone and I just forgot. But
in effect, he's
evil Cable. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
Wasn't X-Man a clone of Cable?
I think.
How many clones? It's like this guy's more clones than Spider-Man. What's going on?
Also, his name is Nathaniel Summers, which is just great.
Yeah, because, yes, he's Cyclops' kid, and he's super old.
From the future!
He's from the future. So maybe X-Man was, like, a clone of Nathaniel Summers before they decided that that's who Cable was. So
the build-a-figure is Jubilee. And I'm kind of like, I don't hate Discount Jubilee.
Dazzler.
I don't flip out about Jubilee, but I'm like, hey, Jubilee. This is actually a really good figure. It's, like, the best figure of the wave. She's the smallest one, too, which is weird, because she's the Build-A-Figure. And so her costume, I didn't know she had this costume now. This is apparently her Vampire Marvel Now costume, because apparently in comics she's now a vampire, and I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, she lost her powers in House of M.
Yeah, so she lost her powers and is now a vampire, but this figure is her in a vampire costume, but it has effects parts for her old mutant powers, which is kind of weird.
Is she one of those newfangled sparkly vampires?
She shoots them right out of her hands. But the costume's cool because it's her yellow trench coat and the pink sunglasses, like all proper. But then she's just wearing like a black bodysuit. And it's this like really great modernization because it's got the yellow trench coat. That's the only thing I want on a Jubilee is the yellow trench coat and the pink sunglasses. And then the rest of it is all like streamlined and badassified. Also, the buck that it's using is apparently like the younger female base body. I think they use it for Spider-Girl as well. And it's a really good figure body, and it has regular shoes. So she stands really well, too. And I'm like, this is actually a really good figure. And, like, the trench coat is, like, a really decent soft PVC that, like, just makes enough way when you're putting her into poses. And she's got the thing where her arms have the sleeves sculpted on, so it blends real well. She's a really good figure. A character I don't super care about, but, you know, was in the cartoon that I watched a whole lot. All I remember is there are lots of times where Wolverine would go like, Jubilee! And like every six or eight episodes or so. But, yeah, I don't know. The Jubilee figure is actually really good. Unfortunately, if you want to just get her on her own, the current going price appears to be $60 to $80 because she's the Build-A-Figure in a rare wave. But if you can track her down locally, it's pretty much worth it. I don't know if I'm going to hang on to the rest of the figures. Like, as much as I'm amused by Strife, that may wear off in the next year. But Jubilee is really good.
Wow, you're giving Strife a whole year, huh?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
he might make it. I don't know.
Right, as soon as I turned the page and saw that it was Cable under the mask, I stopped caring about Strife a lot.
So when you say Spider-Girl, is there a Marvel Legends M2 Spider-Girl?
You mean like MC2?
Yeah.
Like May Parker? That's coming next year.
Ooh.
And in the same wave as a Marvel Legends 2099.
Okay, I might actually buy those.
And the same wave as a comic Amazing Spider-Man who has an alternate head with his mask rolled up so he can eat a piece of pizza which is sculpted into one of his alternate hands. I am all over that wave. Hmm. It also comes with some Hobgoblin who I think is the Ben Ulrich Hobgoblin, and I don't know, I don't care, but it comes with three other figures I want. So, yeah, I'm kind of pumped. Especially if Spider-Girl uses this body, I think it could turn out pretty well. Like, this body with different hips will be, like, perfect for Spider-Girl. Like, proper MC2 Spider-Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, Build-A-Figure waves, it's like... Like, the whole, like, notion of a Build-A-Figure is to try to drive you to get all the figures. So you just don't get stuck with body parts.
Yeah.
But it can sometimes have the opposite effect of making me not want to get any of the figures because I don't want to be stuck with body parts. Like with that X-Men wave, like I thought the Storm looked great, but I don't want to strafe. I was disappointed with how muscly Cyclops was. But then there's times where the Build-A-Figure is so cool, you suffer other figures you don't want.
Yeah.
But then Jubilee's not a character that's going to drive me to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, in her case, like, number one, if you like Jubilee, it's great. But also, like, it's just such a well-done figure once it's put together.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's got a slight draw for being, like, the best figure of the wave, but you have to buy the whole wave to get it. Also, she has, like, effects parts, and they're neat. Like, one of them goes in an open hand, the other one, like, goes over her fist, and they're, like, pink and sparkly. They actually look more like flames than special effects, but whatever. They don't look like they would have the onomatopoeia of PAF, which I read on her Wikipedia page is the Jubilee noise. Because they gave her a noise. Also, I had all these... This is a different story now. I had all these Swagbucks Amazon.ca gift cards built up that I had forgotten about. And so I was like, I should use these to take $20 off of this guy because he's on sale right now on Amazon as well. So I got SH Figure Arts Kamen Rider Garen with his bike.
The, what's the thing called? Red Rhombus. The
Red Rhombus, which he used like once. Well, more than once, but he only used the card scanner once. Anyway, this figure has a thing where you, like, pull a hand of cards out of his gun. So, like, he has a flared hand of cards that can stick out of his gun. On the previous figure, they had, like, an individual sticker for each card that went over this clear thing. And you had to put another individual sticker all on the other side of it. So I was all ready for this demented, huge operation again with toothpicks and tweezers. And I opened them up, and they printed it all onto the clear thing, like, with the paint deco. Like, they just printed it on there. No stickers whatsoever.
I still have not applied blade stickers onto the Blade Rouser.
So this made me go, like, why did I have to do all that nonsense with Blade? And I mean, the whole point with Blade is like, well, you can represent when he didn't have all the cards. But I'm like, why would I ever do that? So, yeah, Garen is great. And he's sometimes on sale on Amazon. You can get him for as low as like $50 or $60.
Really?
He comes with his bike and it's free shipping. So, he's a good figure. I love that character. He's like one of my favorite insane, like badly written to the point of being hilarious, then saved by a writer who kept it all in canon kind of characters.
Mm-hmm.
I always imagine Garen's the kind of guy who would, like, the way he's portrayed in the show is so demented, and the way that his character keeps changing from the first horrible start of the show to the really great end of the show, and they keep it all in continuity. I'm just like, this is the kind of character, he must just live in a bunker. Like, he just, like, he bought an empty storage container and an oil tanker, he put a couch in there to sleep on. Because, like, they just keep dragging him through all these storylines where he comes off as a lunatic. And I love Garen. Also because his name sounds like it should be Galen, but then they romanize it with R's, so it's hard to say. Anyway, that's all my off-topicing. Seth Buzzard!
Uh-oh.
Did you off-topic this week?
I did.
What did you do?
Well, I got a Skylander.
What?
We haven't talked about those in a while.
Nope.
And it's like your most favorite one.
Oh, God, I'm trapped.
Hi, Ray. We're here to talk about Skylanders.
Oh, God, the Skylanders are coming from inside the house.
Well, it's Vangelis' favorite one. I got a Rattleshake.
Rattleshake!
Now, you might say, Seth Buzzard. I thought you already had a Rattleshake. You would be 100% correct in that thinking.
I win!
This is an alternate color Rattleshake.
An alternate color Rattleshake?
He's like this milky white and blue color scheme.
Is that like albino Rattleshake?
Well, no. It's a glow-in-the-dark Rattleshake.
What?
It glows in the dark.
Does that do anything for the game, too?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But the toy glows in the dark.
What? What?
I actually haven't been able to use it in the game yet, but I haven't gotten around to it. I don't have time, man. Also, so, okay. This is something else I got. This is off topic.
Mm-hmm.
We're at Target. I'm looking around. And in this kind of weird aisle, there's all these bovine ladies. No, that's not what happened at all. Sorry, listeners.
I don't know what you're...
Nothing. I'm not talking about anything. So I spot these World of Nintendo figures.
Oh, those. I heard they're okay.
Okay, so they had three. They had Mario, which looked kind of freakish. And they had Yoshi, who is nothing that I care about. Who cares about Yoshi? And then they had Link from The Legend of Zelda, for everyone who doesn't know obvious things.
He's the one in green.
Yeah, he's like an elf man. He's got an elf hat and a sword. But so I'm looking at it. I'm like, you know, this is like $8 and change. It's not even $9.
Yeah.
And I can see a lot of articulation on this guy. Like, there's a lot going on with his wrists and his elbows. And, okay, well, he doesn't have a double-jointed knee. But, like, we'll find out what's going on.
$9.
Not even $9. Yeah. And it looks pretty good. And, you know, for not even $9, you know, I'll give it a try. And so, like, one of the gimmicks with these things is they come with a mystery accessory. There's a little cardboard box.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, and I was wondering about that.
Well, the accessories you could see coming with Link are his sword, his scarab, and the mystery box. And I say to my girlfriend, like, well, it's got to be a shield. Like, you would hope he would come with his shield. And so I open it up. I open it up and come with two shields.
What?
Two exactly the same shields.
What? Okay.
And then now I need other people to get this Link to find out if it's supposed to come with two shields or if I just got like super jackpot and got two shields.
If like I see somebody those,
goofed up and put two shields in the box.
If I see those for the same price you paid, I will gladly pick up a Link because that's I thought those things were going to be like 11 or 12 bucks.
No, it was like not even $9.
Was that where was that? It was like a Walmart.
That was
or
at
Toys
a Target.
A Target, okay.
That was at a Target store.
Because that's hitting the Ninja Turtle sweet spot price.
Right, he's about 4 inches tall, but I don't have a G.I. Joe nearby. I wanted to like compare him to a G.I. Joe.
You should just put him into some G.I. Joe vehicles.
Well, I have one right here.
Ah.
Let's see if he fits.
Is it an awe striker?
No, it's a, oh man, what is it? I forget what it's called now, but it's a little Cobra Jet, little one man Cobra Jet that came with the Terrordrome originally.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then they put it out, on its own a couple years ago. Yeah, but this Link is pretty good. Like considering his price point and size, and it's made by Jack Pacific. Not that that means it is garbage, but
I mean, Jack's. I've been like they don't do bad stuff. I've just been waiting for them to do something that I really like, you know, react to.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got the universal shoulder, and kind of a Reveltech-ish elbow, but it's not clicky. But it's like that kind of thing, that kind of joint.
Yeah.
So it swivels all over the place. He has a cut. No, he doesn't. Never mind. I was going to say he had a cut in his forearm. But his wrist is got a hinge and a twist. The knee is only single jointed, but it gets to just about 90 degree bend. No ab crunch, but a twist in his ab. Now, his little skirt piece kind of hinders his hip articulation. Like, he could spray his legs out, but you can't really kick him forward.
Yeah.
So you can't put him in, like, a crouching action pose. But he has ankle tilts.
Perfect toy.
Oh, my God. Ball-jointed head.
Is there a Wario in that wave, or am I misreading this?
But they have two sizes of figures.
Mm-hmm.
They have a small, they have the smaller ones, and there wasn't a Wario in those smaller ones. I'm not sure if there's a big Wario. I think, if I remember from the back of the box right, this wave is like Mario, Yoshi, Link, Donkey Kong, and Bowser.
Yeah, and Donkey Kong and Bowser are the big ones.
Yeah, and I really want to see a Bowser.
So there, it looks like their plan is to do a Wario, but he didn't make it to the first wave.
Okay, because like all those others, I could take or leave. I got the Figma Link. Don't really care about Yoshi. I'm in the Gerstmann camp with that one. Yoshisaurus Team Muncha Koopas. What the hell is that? The Bowser, I'd get to go with the Figuarts. It's Mario.
It looks like they want to do Wario, but I don't think they've done a posable. They've done a non-posable Wario.
Link is not fitting in that jet. He's too big.
And it looks like, oh man, so the side-by-side of Link with Yoshi and Mario on either side makes Yoshi and Mario look like mutants. They're so much wider than he is.
So here we go. I got some Marvel dudes. I got some little 4-inch Marvel guys.
Alright.
So let's see. Well, I'm gonna... Oh, here's Captain Britain. Old school, original style Captain Britain, too. Not a newfangled Captain Britain. Okay, so he's shorter. Like, significantly shorter. Like, Captain Britain's a good head and shoulders taller. Hmm. But he's... Not beefier, but just kind of thicker all around. It works for his proportions. So... And, you know, he's like an elf man, so I guess he'd go. I guess he's kind of scaly with these guys. You wanted to do your Marvel versus Nintendo Battle Royale crossover.
It looks like the Jax Pacific Mario is like identical in proportions to the Figuarts Mario. I found a side-by-side comparison. That's crazy.
Yeah, the Mario is much bigger. And, like, I was looking at it, and I was like, ugh. Also, it looked weird to me.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm standing up next to this Marvel Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's only slightly taller.
So Link is just, like, literally an elf. He's a smaller bipedal creature.
Yeah. You could put it that way.
Yeah. It also looks like Wave 1 was supposed to be including Wario, but no one can find him.
Huh.
It was supposed to be those three and Wario. And, oh man, the Toy Fair picture even spoils what the mystery box items are.
Oh, good job.
So Link is supposed to come with a shield, so it looks like you did luck out in getting two shields.
Boom! Jackpot.
Yoshi's supposed to come with a Yoshi egg, Mario's supposed to come with a mushroom, and Wario's supposed to come with a coin.
I'm down. Like, you know, why not? Yeah,
Wario just needs one coin, he's gonna rule the world.
There's also a Waluigi? Like, what the hell?
That's in the micro size. So there's a Wario and Waluigi in the non-posable micro size.
Waluigi's my favorite.
Yeah.
Waluigi is just like this chill dude. Like, he looks evil, but he only shows up to play tennis, race, and play board games.
Yeah, otherwise he just stays at home.
Yeah, you're just like, what are you guys doing? We're fighting.
I hope they do a posable Waluigi.
He's not going to show up to brawl. It's not his jam. It's like, yeah, just put me in a go-kart.
There is a Waluigi in that smaller scale.
Yeah. The $4 scale, I believe, going by this photo.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm pretty happy with this dude for how much he was. And
that's great. I mean, I'm really happy to hear, like, you know, it's good Nintendo toys for affordable prices.
Yeah, there he is with the Spider-Man, so you can see.
You don't have to go buy Figmas and stuff to get, like, a decent little toy.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't have the Figma one. My assumption would be if you had the Figma one, you're not going to want to ditch it for this thing.
Oh, no, but I mean,
Unless, you might want it in addition to, if you want to, like, put together some crazy dioramas. But, and now it's the scale with some other figures you got.
That's kind of like...
get wild.
Before, if you wanted a posable like Link, you had to get the Figma, basically, who runs like whatever, like $40 to $80, depending on what time of, you know, his lifespan you got him during. And then, like, you know, for $9, you get a posable Link, who's not as good as the Figma, but he's also $9 and not garbage for $9. I think that's awesome. Also, I found a picture called Werewolf Rattleshake. So it's oh wait, that didn't. There's no HTTP on that. This is Rattleshake as a werewolf. It's pretty great.
But he's already a snake.
Now he's a werewolf snake man. See, he's got a tail, but it looks like a snake tail.
I don't know. I'm pretty deep in the internet. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I grew up online. I don't get some of the stuff I see on DeviantArt.
I'm pretty deep in the internet.
No, it's true. It's like, you know, it's not like I'm on Facebook sharing like funny joke emails with my dad. It's like
I'm pretty deep in the internet too. Have you seen this great Rattleshake pictures I've been finding?
There's a lot of pointless garbage cluttering up the world.
I don't get how you get to that point where you're making werewolf Rattleshake.
Because you have fetishes, and sometimes they collide with each other.
You really like werewolves. You really... Wait, hang on a second. I found... What? I don't know what this is exactly supposed to be. But it's Rattleshake is a thing with wings! See?
It's like I grew up in the days of Style Project. And this gives me pause.
Oh man, there were some horrible things on Style Project. Holy moly.
I remember that was the only place to see some stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to go there.
I remember Style Project had that one page where there was tiny little thumbnails for images.
Yep.
And the excitement was either it was going to be something just horrific, like just something just gory and going to ruin your life, or it might be a naked lady. So you'd have to like look at those thumbnails and go like, is this worth it? Should I click on this? Is that like a boob or something else? I click. Oh, it was somebody that got murdered.
I after a couple times, I was like, I gotta stop. This isn't worth the dice roll.
Yeah.
Going on to a URL that starts with Styles Project.
Style Project had an awesome logo, though. I love their gas mask logo. It was rad.
Look, Rattleshake is fighting Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, that is a Sonic the Hedgehog OC.
Oh, sorry, he's fighting Simon the Hedgehog.
Simon the Blade Hog.
Yeah! He's got a knife!
You know what? Nothing's scarier than the idea of Sonic with a knife.
Yeah, because he runs so fast, right? You'd be like, what's that shape in the distance? Then your head just falls off. He doesn't have to hit you hard, right? Just the terminal velocity of that blade entering your skin.
He's the guy from Modern Warfare Multiplayer with the speed boost perk and the double combat knives just running around stabbing dudes.
I used to do that.
I used to just play Riot Shield throwing knives, not even stab. I'd always just throw them. And if I ran out of throwing knives, I'd just like sort of hustle around people who didn't know how to deal with the Riot Shield and go pick up my knives or whatever. It's so fun. People got so mad.
My favorite is Modern Warfare 2 had the care package grenades. And the game was designed so that when you were holding a care package, you moved twice as fast. And the idea was that you wanted you to get somewhere safe really quickly so you could throw it. But what people did instead was they just pulled out the care package grenade and just ran around stabbing people.
Yeah.
And that was the most fun you could have in Modern Warfare 2 until people figured out one-man army grenade launchers. And then the game got bad.
Modern Warfare is at its best when you have a riot shield and you have a knife and you're throwing the knife because that's skill.
The new one looks good. I'm not going to lie. It's like the sort of collapsible riot shield you can have on your wrist.
What? Okay, I should... That's the one with House of Cards man in it, right?
Kevin Spacey?
No, but it's him as like House of Cards man, basically.
Him as Frank Underwood.
Yeah. I haven't played one since Modern Warfare 2, so maybe it's time. Because everyone's so sick of it now that it'll also be nice and easy for me to just slide on in there and get my prestiges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Generation 2 now.
I might not bother this year. I don't know. It's like I got my thesis coming up, so I'm not. I can't have that many games going on.
And we got Titanfall, and we got Kinects to collect. We're all set already. All right. Well, Seth, was there anything else off topic that you you accomplished?
I kind of got a new job. Kinda. I'm working at the same place, but the main thrust of my work is new.
The thresh of it?
I'm supposed to be getting off work earlier, but...
We're in transition, and that's...
fooled me. Apparently, I mentioned my former co-workers can't handle doing the work without me, so they're just falling to pieces.
I mentioned at the top of the show that we're on an upswing where we thought maybe you were going to get off earlier, but we're just moving towards that.
Well, I did last week.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, I got off at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And this Thursday, I kind of snuck out at 7:30. I wasn't supposed to have left yet, but like when the boss informed me that I was mistaken about the situation, he just went, go ahead and get out of here. And I was like, don't have to give me permission twice. I'm already gone.
I'm actually jumping right out this window right now.
Seth-shaped hole in the wall.
And you just, you're still standing there, but the image of you standing there just kind of fades out.
Yeah, but you know, they're hiring more people. They got 3 new guys. So as they get trained in and, you know, hopefully don't stink and hopefully stay around for a while. Like, we've been going through so many new guys. They just quit. They don't stick it out long enough for anything to get better.
Yeah.
But they're just like a landslide of new guys. So, and they're looking for a fourth. So hopefully as those dudes get like up to speed, I won't have to stay so late and start getting off earlier.
He's got to get some dirt on the new hires.
Yeah.
So when they're like, hey, we want to leave. Like, oh, that's great. Well, that would be a shame if this happened.
Yeah, because, like, the work I'm doing now, it's like, I have to get used to, like, 1,600 new items and their locations with lower quality paperwork to work off of. Like, in the old department, like, we pull off these tags that have, like, at least 3 points of information on it that you could use to find and identify the product you're supposed to be looking for. With this job, I get faxed some sheets of paper, and then everyone's telling me not to look at the manufacturer or the brand name that's associated with the items, because most of those are wrong. So I'm supposed to be looking for Packer black beans. Oh, we don't carry Packer. Well, why does it say Packer? Well, it's Jackrabbit now. So shouldn't it say Jackrabbit?
Oh, you mean outdated inventory? That was one of my very first jobs, was helping clean up a completely broken inventory system.
Yeah, so, when I worked at EB Games, like every morning you come in and do your morning counts of all the new product. And you have to go through your inventory, and like sometimes things would just be missing.
But we had the thing, this was with fairies, so it was like fairy parts, like component inventory, and the classic example was that there were like 15 different definitions of O-rings that all had separate inventory slots because people had spelled them differently. Is O-ring one word? Is it O-space ring? Or just O-ring? Or O-dash ring? Or O-ring, what were they? Like O-ring washer. That was fun.
Right, well, like, so today I had to deal with a situation, this is another thing where the paperwork's messed up, where this restaurant orders drinking straws.
Yeah.
They think they're ordering a case of 500. They're actually ordering a case of 10,000.
Yeah.
So the paperwork says one case, but if I send one case, then they're going to take 5 of the 100 count packages out of the case and then send the rest of the case back. So the guy who was training me, and I had like less than a full week of training, said, oh, when these guys order the straws, you just have to remember to sell them one pouch of 100. Which isn't what they want. They want 500. But nobody bothered to get it sorted out.
Yeah.
So I had to get it sorted out today because I'm not going to put up with this mess. One of the reasons I was put into this job was they want it fixed and they believe that I will do that. So I have to do that. Otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. No, so, it's kind of nice to like take a busted thing, and if you're just the one person who has the authority to unbust it.
You know? I don't have the authority. Like, I have to convince the people who have the authority to make the changes.
Ah, okay. That's
so I request changes, and then it's on other people to implement the changes. But the people one step above them are the ones telling me to get the changes made.
Yeah, so there's always people in the middle.
Yeah, right. So I have to deal with the middle people who don't want to listen to me because I'm under them, but I have the authority of the people above them. It's a really weird situation.
Hierarchies are screwed up, man, which is so weird because they are technically a two-direction road. It should be simple.
Right. So, like, for as crazy and broken as so much of the work is, like, I'm actually really excited for the opportunity. It's a change of pace. It's not just the same thing. Most of the day I'm working alone, which is like magic. I couldn't be happier to not rely on a bunch of dummies like I have been. And now I just got to get those bunch of dummies to be able to do their job without me, so I don't have to like work as long in this other gig, in my old job, as I do my new job.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So.
That's the best kind of potential thing to get. Yeah. High potential, and it helps you get other things. It's a thing you get that then causes other things to be gettable.
Well, and if I pull it off, if I make the whole department better, then that's just going to make me popular with the bosses, and those are people you want to be popular with.
And you just strut out there.
Yeah, because look, there's two ways you could get the bosses to like you. One, you could just be a brown-nosing scumbag, or you could do your job really well. And that's the route I want to take.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's close up the section then with Ray. What did you do that was not Transformers?
Oh.
Of late.
God,
you don't have to do all of it if you don't want to do all of it.
Well, no, there's quite the opposite.
Oh.
It's been, life lasts a while. It's been thesis and Final Fantasy 14.
You got a thesis. All right.
Well, I'm working on it.
No one just showed up. You got home. You're like, oh, a thesis. Oh.
I got something yesterday. I didn't buy it. It kind of showed up in my PS4. It is something that was developed apparently together with Hideo Kojima of Metal Gear fame and Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I watched someone playing that and I had to like switch the tab.
Okay, this is called PT. Apparently it's shorthand for playable teaser.
Yeah.
They just sort of dropped it during Gamescom and said, hey, we've got this thing. It's on the store. You can't even, it doesn't appear on the store page. You have to manually search for it in the store, and when you find it, it's got like this cryptic ass description message.
And I got all cryptic of, all ass.
Damn. Yeah, I am.
No, I have a cryptic ass. Oh. I can't make sense of it.
You don't have a cryptic ass. None of y'all.
It never stops. It always starts. But it's and the screenshots on the store page are of a different game. So you don't know what it is as you're downloading it. And the entire game consists of you wake up in this empty room and you walk out into this hallway in a house and you're walking down the hallway and go around the corner and you go down a flight of stairs and you go through another door and you come back out in the hallway you just started in.
Yeah, and then a whole bunch of horrific friggin' stuff starts happening. Yeah,
and with every single loop you do through this one hallway, things get creepier and scarier. And let me say one thing first. This is the first really sort of next-gen game I've played on my PS4, because I've had a lot of time for a lot of games. It looks incredible.
Yeah, like even just watching a stream of it, like I could, like they open the door and like just the lighting and the way the hallway just looks,
the
all
textures, the sort of like it looks stellar. Like,
and then the goddamn thing that is behind you.
Oh God! Like at one point, like you're walking through the room and the radio comes on and the guy just starts listing off numbers like a numbers station, which gets me going already. And then he says, "Look behind you." And I'm like, I turn around and there's nothing. And he says, "No, behind you." And then I turn around and I don't do scary games well. I kicked in the air and threw my controller up. I was just like, nope, 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 no.
So I was watching Klepek playing that. I don't know what he did, but when it said look behind you, the event just sort of spawned right in front of him. Which meant it popped into existence 2 inches from his character's face, and I was like, Jesus Christ! Like, and then the thing just started dry humping him, and he fell down, and I was like, what's going on?
And that wet munching sound.
Oh!
Yeah. I don't do scary well, and like I've gotten maybe about 15 minutes into it, and I have to keep like going back in chunks. And then going to play Mario Kart for an hour.
No, I mean, I barely dealt with it when someone was playing it and I'm just watching them and they are, you know, actively speaking while they're playing it, which is the only way I can often handle truly, like, you know, horror-driven games. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I was able to get through Dead Space, is that in Dead Space, it's a horror-style game, but you're on equal level with the Necromorphs. You can fight them.
Exactly.
If you don't fight them, they will murder you in terrible ways, but you can dismember them if you stay ahead of them. So it's like, it was tense, but I still didn't feel like I was helpless. Like, especially because this thing is from a first-person perspective, some of the stuff they do, they just do it in a way that it's just like, just right under your skin.
Yeah, it's like, I remember stories with Hideo Kojima talking about the stuff he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like, games that would delete the cartridge when you died. And this is sort of like what I get a glimpse of when Kojima just, he has full control. And he's not dealing with something he has to preserve or maintain or take care of for future games. It's like he has just given you and a game and a controller.
And I feel like from what I watched of it, it feels like him having full control, but since he's working with Guillermo del Toro, there's someone sitting in the chair next to him, mm-hmm. kind of with a hand on his shoulder. So you get all the crazy Kojima stuff, but it doesn't, it avoids hitting some of the Metal Gear peaks of like, can someone calm him down, please?
Yep.
And it looks really, like, I don't think I could ever play the thing that this is a teaser for, but it looks really amazing.
I am so, like, I love Kojima's work when he's tempered.
Yeah.
I think when he's clearly sort of struggling to keep himself interested.
And everyone around him is just going, yeah!
Yeah. But if you look at people working on this game, it is the Metal Gear people are all doing sort of technical work, which I think is where they should be.
Yeah.
And all of the art people are taken from stuff like Dark Souls.
Yeah, and Kojima also, the impression I get is he looks up to filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And so by having Guillermo del Toro up there, and Guillermo's like, you know, one of the nicest filmmakers you could ever meet. You've got a really friendly guy working with an insane guy, but who looks up to him, but he's not looking up to someone who's going to take advantage of that position. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like a really great, like, just a good creative duo to do this kind of thing. Because, yeah, friggin', that, yeah. I don't think I could play that myself.
I might have to force myself to do it. The last horror game I managed to make myself sit through was the Resident Evil remake on GameCube.
That's ages ago.
And I don't consider Resident Evil 4, 5, and 6. Like, I did those two, but those are more action games.
Yeah. Well, they have the Dead Space thing, right? Where you're empowered enough, so it's scary stuff's happening, but you can fist fight it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not really feeling constrained. You're feeling like you have sort of more agency with the environment. Whereas, I think what's really working in something like PT's favor and making it really atmospheric and terrifying is that you are trapped.
And it's a... And it's a thin hallway, and it has a 90-degree corner you have to round,
mm-hmm.
which is the scariest thing ever in any game, is rounding a blind corner, you know, in a game like this.
Yeah.
And this game takes advantage of that, from what I saw.
And I'm just really happy that, like, there are finally games coming out for the PS4 that are like, this is it. This is a game made for next gen. This is a game that did not start on 360, did not start on PS3. This is a PS4-ass PS4 game that is just like, we have this whole, we have a really talented team that is really exceptional and really talented. They have the money and the resources and the time to terrify you using all this new hardware, and I'm like, I gotta see what this looks like.
And that's really the only thing holding it back, too, is it's terrifying. And there are, some, like, I could barely play them. I like spectating them, but there are some people who just don't, they can't make, you know, time in their lives for a horror game, especially an effective one. So hopefully there'll be something non-horrific that is also as equally impressive sometime soon. I'm just waiting for Mortal Kombat X. That's going to be my entry to the new consoles.
Yeah, I was watching the footage of Kano the other day.
Well, they just, I mean, I flipped out about this on Twitter. They made a friggin' bug person. It's like they made me a character to main before I even know how the game works.
I played a lot of Injustice. And I really like the way Boone and his guys handle the pace of a fighting game. It's what I'd call a Western-style fighting game, where it is just a lot slower, but it's more methodical. And it's just like, I watch the Japanese role fighting games, and I don't understand them.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, I think we talked about it, like that,
yeah.
The Blaze Blue nonsense, which was amazing to see. But
I was watching that trailer, or not trailer, but like that little teaser video where Ed Boon is kind of showing the three Raiden settings.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can play them like this, or play them like this, or play them like this. And I was like, I don't know, I just want to have one version to worry about, I think. Yeah, it's starting to get complicated for me.
I think it's complicated for Mortal Kombat, but at least it's like it's complicated in a really simple way where it's like teleporty Raiden, projectile Raiden, or like Fists of Lightning Raiden, and whatever you think sounds cool, just pick that one. Like with Kano, like they just color code his bionics, and it's like he'll either shoot lasers, or he'll fist fight real well, or he's a grappler. So what do you want to play like? And then in most cases, you'd go like, I want to shoot lasers, and just figure it out from there. Like it's kind of neat. Like the thing that made me feel okay about that is it seems like each like variation is like fully realized for the sake of balance and stuff. Because the worst thing they could have done is do this with the Mortal Kombat Armageddon style of like if this was done like in the PS2 days with the way they were doing Mortal Kombat back then, I think it would have been like, well, let's just take their entire moveset and just bust it into three sections and you can only use like one section at a time. And it seems like that's not what's going on here. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Also, I thought the last Mortal Kombat game was super fun single player. And how often do you get to say that about fighting games?
Well, I'm glad that like the tournament scene has started picking up Mortal Kombat. Injustice is still really big in the tournament scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was at Evo. I think Killer Instinct took its slot. But like I'm glad that Mortal Kombat is still around.
And I love Ed Boon.
Yeah.
No one is happier to be making video games than him.
He's again like sort of like a Kojima character where he is really into putting things in that both are but like it's there if you are just there to play a video game and there is another version of the game underneath that is full of like secrets and twists and turns and in-depth mechanics and weird things. Like people are still finding stuff in Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah.
There are secrets.
I mean, it's just like it's his attitude towards stuff, you know, just the friendly demeanor he has, and it's, I love that he is a mega fan for his own character that he voices in all the modern games. Like he's just, like it feels like he's like, whatever we do, Scorpion's in it and I get to be Scorpion. You know, like almost with like this toddler mentality of like on the playground. I get to be Batman, whatever game we're playing, Batman's in it, and I'm him. I don't know. It's just really endearing to me. Alright. Well, did you do anything else off topic other than PT, or is that just been like slowly going through that is basically
No, like I said, Thesis and Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw another, speaking of games that are kind of freaky in concept, I saw this little game, I wanted to mention it briefly, it's called Five Nights at Freddy's, and it's kind of really stressful to watch clips of it, and I'm surprised. It's like you're a night watchman at a Chuck E. Cheese kind of restaurant, and the whole thing is you're a night watchman, so you're sitting in the control room, you can swivel your chair left and right, and you can check all the cameras. And there are five animatronic characters, and they have to, in order to keep their gears working, they have to be allowed to walk around freely at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you have to keep track of where they're walking by watching the cameras to see what rooms they're in. And then there are camera blind spots, which are the basically the spot right in front of the two doors into your control room. So you have to turn on lights there to check to see if anyone's standing right in front of the door about to come in. And apparently if they come in, they'll think that you're an animatronic character who's not in costume, and they will try to forcibly stuff you into an animatronic costume, which will probably kill you. And there's also, because the restaurant is cheap, there's limited power, so you can't just close the doors, because that'll use up power. So anything you do uses up power, so you have to, and if you run out of power, then there's a blackout, and then one of the animatronic characters will activate and then just kind of walk into the control room and stare at you for a while and then do a jump scare. So you have to be, like, flipping through cameras while trying to figure out where all these things are. You have to come back and check the lights outside your doors, because if you don't, you'll look away from the cameras, you'll put down the laptop you're looking at, and the thing will be standing right in front of you, and then you're dead! It's like someone was looking at Night Trap and was like, how can we make this into an actual game? And I'm kind of digging
Night Trap.
Yeah, that's right.
It's coming back, you know.
I know. All these old games. There's a new Gabriel Knight coming. There's a new King's Quest coming. All excited. Anyway, that's been WTF at TFW, episode 317. Thank you, Ray, for coming by and filling in Seth's spot while he was away, and then, you know, just holding resolute when he showed up, just kicking the door down. And we'll be back next week with some more of this. In the meantime, I don't know, just sit on the sub forum and keep hitting F5. Just continue. Eventually, 318 will be there. And it'll all have been worth it.